Tonight, pretty late pal Brandon C. Price rides sidecar as we get a New Music Monday performance from Brother Star Race. Then later, we'll talk about whether or not three dates is the magic number. But first, I give an emotional and thorough review of Batman vs. Superman. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You're listening Pretty Late, Craig. We kind of came into the studio sort of, I think it's a pretty late first where we both came in going, I'm here. We've never
that
done that
true.
Before.
That is word for word exactly what apparently we both said.
Yes, and yeah. Poor Bob Ferguson trying to set up for our band tonight.
Bob almost did a show by himself.
He was the only one in the studio. I was trying to set up Studio A upstairs on the seventh floor.
I got a phone call.
Esmeralda, as you know, we are having Marines in tomorrow night to watch a movie. So I was trying to make sure that I could set up the internet connection with that big TV screen we have up there.
Were you successful?
I can get Netflix. So that limits right now the number, with the choice of movies that we have. So
there's other apps.
So I want Amazon Prime. So we need a military movie. And so far, here are our choices on Netflix.
Okay.
So Full Metal Jacket, which is good,
but
it's heavy.
Yeah, that is heavy.
And I just watched it.
Aren't most of them heavy, though?
No.
Where's the really fun military movie?
What's that
Stripes.
One?
Stripes is good.
Oh, that's it. Oh,
okay.
That's a good
point. Really good.
I was thinking of that one with...
Point Made.
The Benjamin one. What's it
Private Benjamin?
Yeah.
That's not an option for us. You know what is an option and I might go with?
G.I. Jane?
Taps.
Okay.
1981, Tom Cruise, Sean Penn, I want to say George C. Scott.
Ooh.
It's actually a movie I saw when I was a kid that made me want. It's an interesting 312-981-7200. If you have access to the Netflix account where you can see what military movies are available, but I think like Jarhead 2, Three Kings is also available with George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg. So those are some of our choices so far. I'm hoping to be able to connect to Amazon.
It's an old school one, though. And especially Taps would be good just because you have a connection to it.
Yes, I enjoy it.
It'd be good to show them.
And for me to see if it stands up to the test, right?
Did
you ever see a movie that you liked when you were a kid and you see it again? You're like, well, that sucked.
No. I had wonderful taste as a child.
Oh.
Didn't Sergeant Peraka, though, say that the number one movie people told him to watch was Full Metal Jacket and he hadn't seen it yet?
Yeah, but he says he has seen parts of it.
Oh, okay.
I just watched it.
It's rough. Yeah.
It's a little, guys, rifles and guns. This is for fighting and this is for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a it's a heavy one. It's good, though. It is very
good.
God, Matthew Modine was so good in that. And so was the big guy that we shouldn't give away any spoilers.
No, I kind of like Esmeralda's idea, though, of doing something a little lighter. They just need to laugh.
Taps won't be a funny one either, but it's older. It's about a military reform, like a military boarding school. So it's not about being necessarily in the...
So maybe not. Is there a platoon?
Yeah, platoon.
Platoon is not. It's not a choice on the Netflix.
I've never seen Stripes. Can I just selfishly do what I want to do?
It's not on Netflix either.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Jarhead 2, Full Metal Jacket.
Jarhead
2? Yeah, it's not even Jarhead.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently.
Wait, there's a second one?
Yeah, Electric Boogaloo.
I did not know that.
It's really good. Totally go a different way.
Yeah. I was hoping to do A Few Good Men as our first. We're doing Semper Film.
That's a good one.
It would be, yes. That's what I was going for. Mostly because it really is such the Marines, and this is what it means, and you've got to, you know.
Also, you're really into Tom Cruise military movies, apparently.
I'm not.
Okay.
All right. Then. Forrest Gump is a choice. Does that have enough of a military?
No.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't. No,
he goes to war.
I agree. I agree with Esmeralda.
No.
It's sprinkled in there like everything else.
It has to be full on.
He wins a medal? I mean, that's a bunch of.
Was Apocalypse Now on there?
Oh, wow.
No, it is not. That's interesting you say that. A friend of the show, Charles Turk, was asking if Nick had any plans to do Apocalypse Now as one of his movies. There's a Nick D Film Club at MovieCo, so I have to ask about that. I don't think he has done that one. I don't know that Nick likes that movie, so that would be something we have to float out there. Which, by the way, are you going to, you can't come. I'm sorry.
Esmeralda, I can't go, no.
To Scarface next.
Yeah, none of the, no, not Scarface. It's
Raging Bull, the other one, the other De Niro
Yeah,
movie.
I can only do the big Saturday movies.
Did I say the other De Niro movie? What is wrong with me? Scorsese, right? I don't know what's wrong with me. Can we start the show over?
I'm here.
Redo.
I'm here. We're all here.
We'll pull up the list of movies, the military movies that are available on Netflix. 312-981-7200. Do you think we should watch Taps with the Marines, or is there something else? Of those that I've mentioned so far, there's Three Kings with George Clooney, and I don't think we should see. Black Hawk Down is available, But I don't.
That's a good movie.
That's a hard
I
one.
I thought
too.
Sergeant Paraka saw that.
Did he say he saw Black Hawk Down? That sounds
yes.
right. That does sound yeah. right. We have to find some headphones.
Because are they younger?
Brandon C. Price.
They're they're younger.
They're Marines. I feel like they should watch the older stuff first.
A classic, like a Sands of Iwo Jima, Longest Day type movie?
Well, I was thinking, I was just like, you had the Taps and all that. I'm still on the Taps.
Taps? All right. You kind of want to see Taps a little bit. The boarding school one.
Mm-hmm. Although, yeah, it is boarding school.
It's boarding. It's a military boarding school.
You might just have to go with Full Metal Jacket.
I wish Patton was on there. That would be good. I don't know if I want to go with Full Metal Jacket. Brandon C. Price joins us in the studio. Hello, how are you doing?
How did you find the military movies, by the way? Sorry, I interrupted Brandon. Do you know about these secret menus?
No.
So you can type in specific like codes and get military action adventure, mm-hmm. military documentary, military drama, military TV show.
I don't want to do any documentaries.
Okay. Yes. And no TV shows, I assume.
I don't think so because... Maybe. Is that
what about miniseries like Band of Brothers?
Yeah, Band of Brothers
pretty
is
pretty much
good one.
The greatest one.
Then do we have to like watch with the Marines every week? Keep coming back.
That's not a terrible idea.
You could also just go to a Best Buy and buy one. A DVD.
What? You're right, but then I have Excuse to hook me? Up a DVD player to the big screen television upstairs on the seventh floor. So we
might
are
not be too hard.
It might not be. But it sounds like
we're smart people.
Oh, you do it, Esmeralda.
I just spent the last half hour trying to get my Roku hooked up to the big TV up there.
Plus, I don't think the engineers would totally love it if Patty was digging around and doing stuff in some of the studios.
Just yanking out cords.
Don't tell the...
Thank God Bob's not here.
Don't tell the engineers what I did to the TV upstairs. Hi, Bob. Brandon C. Price, we are doing Semper Film with our Marine friends. Friends from the Marines is probably the better way to put it. Our friend Sergeant Paraka has never seen a majority of military movies. Parts of Full Metal Jacket and apparently Black Hawk Down. He's never seen Stripes or Private Benjamin or A Few Good Men, all these movies. You've never seen Taps, have you? I don't think Taps is... I'm with Esmeralda, like I want to, but a military boarding school doesn't seem like the place to start.
Yeah, that one doesn't stand out to me.
No. Although it is a very young Tom Cruise.
What's the one where Cuba Gooding goes underwater and is super awesome? Jack Nicholson tells him he can't, and yet he does. You know, it's the Navy, right?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about, because I just watched The Guardian. I just watched The Guardian with Ashton Kutcher and Kevin.
You're thinking
of that's the boat
Costner.
One. That's the Coast Guard.
You're thinking of Men of Honor.
Yes, there you
Men
go.
Men of Honor.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good movie.
I don't think for I do think that the first one should either be so ridiculous like Taps because there's no point of reference for our Marines.
Okay.
But if it's a Navy one, they'll just hate it from the very beginning.
So you that's want a
MASH?
You want a terrible?
Ooh, MASH.
MASH is a great show. Yeah, it's a really good show.
That's a good one.
You want
no,
a terrible
movie.
Military
the,
movie?
The movie's
well,
really
the movie's
good.
Good too.
Yes, I'm sorry.
The
go ahead.
TV show's better.
What
it just
happened.
It lasted longer, and they're really good, you know, and there's some actors in it that aren't in the movie.
Well, you know, movies but, can only last a few hours, Craig.
I
like the journey over a longer period
have
of time
you,
as well.
Hold on a second. Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
Oh.
I did the TV show for my podcast, and so I actually watched the movie as well, and
Donald
I like Alan Alda a lot, and he doesn't appear in the movie.
Oh, Donald Sutherland is so good, and so is Elliot Gould, and I'm sorry. Robert Duvall as major. Okay.
Well, you should get real awful and just do Hot Shots.
Well, no, let's go real terrible. Pearl Harbor.
Oh,
wasn't that sad? God, Ben Affleck just finds a way to
sad
ruin
Affleck.
Your movie.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Sad Affleck.
And who's the other one? Who's the Josh Hartnett? I do this because he's got small eyes.
Yeah, he's
I do
he's
this
not an acting
he can't
anymore.
Act with his eyes.
Wasn't he wearing a hairpiece too?
Was he?
You know, speaking of Ben Affleck, I know we're waiting on my big Batman versus
not
Superman.
Not tonight, Craig.
Okay.
Not tonight.
Oh, my man. Giant Batman versus no. Superman. Oh, all right.
No, because I've seen so much outrage. I need you to simmer down a little
so
bit.
So many thoughts that I have.
You're not very pleased.
Batman in one corner, Superman in the other.
I'm hoping that with a couple days of meditation on it, perhaps that you'll be able to sort of filter it differently. Because the rage I heard you on the phone today was...
I want $15 from Zack Snyder.
No. Here, hold on a second. Let me give you a Starbucks gift card. More after this on 720 WGN. Craig.
Yes, Patty.
That's the original Superman movie?
Yes, this is,
music,
yes.
The John Williams soundtrack?
Batman versus Superman.
You got it on the brain, don't you?
I do.
You're going back in your head and thinking, what could have been better? No.
I'm thinking a lot of stuff.
Yeah, stop it.
Okay.
Let it go. You got to meditate. You just got to breathe in positive energy, breathe out Batman and Superman.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Now, Brandon, we can't hear you.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I just said maybe if you're less mad about it, the movie will suck less.
Interesting.
That's off. Interesting.
The way you feel affects the world around you.
I have so many review points. I wrote a list.
You got to hold it.
Got items.
Elliot's not coming until Wednesday. I was going to have him call in, but I felt if you could just you know, hold it, now. Or maybe it'll be bigger. Maybe it like the it'll brew and bubble up, and it'll be even
There's
more.
There's a lot of like stuff out there of people writing things, and they're all angry.
You got to hold on to it. Okay. Hold on to the rage. Right. Use it for good, or whatever you need to use it for. Bobby D has a suggestion for our Semper Film segment with the Marines. What do you think, Bobby D?
Guadalcanal Diary. It's a World War II movie in black and white, and if I remember correctly, William Bendix is the lead.
What's the name of this?
Guadalcanal Diary. It's about the Battle of Guadalcanal.
Guadalcanal Diary.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And your suggestion on the air of Sanjay Iwo Jima?
Yes.
That's a good movie, too.
Well, for them to, I mean, it's a very, you know, that's a turning point in World War II. When that flag went up, even though the battle carried on, it was a symbol worldwide that the Marines were there and were digging in. So I think, and that's so important in military history and, of course, in our own history. Thank you so much, Bobby D. I appreciate it.
Yeah, check that one out.
William Bendix and Guadalcanal Diary. Excellent. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we got Rich. Rich, what do you think we should show?
Yeah, I was thinking of a couple of them, but I went brain dead on one of them. It was that one about 8 years ago about the bomb disposal guys.
Oh, Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I actually have not seen that one.
Mm-hmm. But then I was thinking, these guys are not that far removed from maybe being in Iraq, Afghanistan, and that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe you ought to show Stripes, due to the fact that
they're
so close to that it may bring back memories of lost friends.
I was thinking about that as well, because we do actually, I know that at least one of the Marines that we hang out with has had several tours, and I was thinking about the same thing when I saw Three Kings, which is actually about the first war in the Gulf.
Right.
And then, there's a couple movies. I agree. I was thinking, that's what I was thinking about Black Hawk Down. So, yeah, I think that you're right. And that's what I kind of thought A Few Good Men would be good, because it's more of a legal drama about what it means to be a Marine and Stripes. Okay, I'm going to look for either. I'm going to go in the other direction. Thank you for helping me with that, Rich. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. Have a good show.
You have a good night. Well, enjoy the show, I hope. Yes, Craig.
By the way, there's a Schwarzenegger movie available. Collateral Damage.
On Netflix?
That's on Netflix.
What's Collateral Damage?
Oh. Yes, it is there.
What's wrong with you?
What's Collateral Damage?
I thought this is where we were going, Esmeralda. We're steering into this, right? We're going to do just a terrible, awful movie for them to watch.
No.
No, okay, no. Okay, that's not what
you could spend 6 hours watching Apocalypse Now.
That'll be great. Collateral Damage is a movie about someone in the military whose family gets kidnapped by terrorists, and Schwarzenegger has to go in and save everybody.
That's not even like, military. That's like a side thing that they're in the military.
I don't know what you're talking about. He's a military professional and he's got to save his family.
What's the one where Jean-Claude Van Damme is the robot military guy?
That's a good question.
This is real. The vault, like Wolf Lunderson, the big blonde guy, there's always in. Come on. This is real. It had a sequel.
I know it's real. I believe that it's real.
Might as well just show what was the one with Jean-Claude Van Damme in the video game? Street Fighter?
Oh, yeah. That's sort of a military movie. Guile's in the military.
If we're going to do Schwarzenegger, why don't we do Commando?
That's a good idea.
I mean, we should just watch Running Man if we're just going to get off the military thing and watch a great
Rambo,
Schwarzenegger film.
Is Rambo military?
Ooh.
Right?
I like that idea.
He's his own military.
Aren't they doing another Rambo movie?
Yeah, they are. They're putting out another Rambo movie.
With him or with somebody else?
I think it's a younger guy. They're going to do like an origin story.
There'll be a cameo.
He'll do like a flash forward to himself.
Yeah, maybe he's like reflecting on his youth.
Mm-hmm. I gotta answer the phone.
He's on his deathbed. He goes, "Rosebud," and you flash back and see
it's
his
a sled.
No, stop! You ruined it for so many people. All right, so Netflix. I'm trying to find, and I'm sure tomorrow I'll be able to figure out how to get Amazon Prime hooked up. So we should have access to more movies on my Roku. Have you ever used Roku, Brandon?
I have not. I've seen. That it's kind of like Apple TV, but it's not Apple, right?
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. But I really enjoy it for the most part, and I travel a lot, so I do use it. I use it like in hotel rooms, and I'm staying at friends' places. I don't even know where they leave. Oh, it's just a little stick. That sounds.
Oh,
bad,
it's that small at this point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Universal Soldier, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Universal Soldier. Okay, what's the one with the toys? Isn't there like a
Toy
Soldiers?
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
Right.
But it's Small Soldiers.
Small Soldiers. Yes. I don't think we're going to do that.
A classic.
Let's see. We have more. I love this. Everyone's giving us ideas. We are doing a segment with our friends in the Marines called Semper Film. It was actually inspired by the idea that one of the gentlemen that we worked with, it's actually Sergeant Paraka, has never seen a lot of movies, actually. He's never seen A Few Good Men or Stripes or Private Benjamin. Glenn, what do you think we should watch with our Marines? They're my Marines.
So many. Tora, Tora, Tora.
Ooh, that's good.
Big Red One. Audie Murphy, sorry.
Audie Murphy, all right. Ooh, if we're going in that direction, Sergeant York is also a good movie.
Sergeant York. And not a military movie, but would hit right at home would be, Gardens of Stone.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen that one, but I remember that got very good reviews.
I saw it one time. I loved it. James Caan and James Earl Jones are in it. Mm-hmm. Really good movie.
Excellent.
So many.
I know. That's the thing. We're planning to do this every month. I'm starting because we have a lot of ideas for segments, and we end up time gets away from us. So I started texting out our friends and said, hey, just come and see a movie with us on Tuesday. So they're going to hang out with us tomorrow, and we'll be sharing some of that as I think probably part of the show tomorrow night. Thank you, Glenn. I'll let you know. We'll let you know which one we end up being able to choose. Have a great night.
All right.
Thanks. Yeah. So yes,
the
Craig.
English Patient is also on Netflix.
Okay. Do you know? You know the problem I have with Game of Thrones?
Yes.
What is it?
There's too much mud.
Too much mud. Do you know what the problem is I have with English Patient?
I assume there's a lot of mud.
Too much sand.
Okay. Got it. I've never seen that one.
Is it just that you empathize with being sandy or muddy? Doesn't like that feeling?
Yes, I do. It's a sensory thing for whatever
Clint
reason.
Eastwood has three of them. Three Marine movies.
Heartbreak Ridge was one of the movies.
Yeah, there you go. And then,
You know what? I think it's got to be Heartbreak Ridge Esmeralda. It's
Flags of Our Fathers.
Flags of Our Fathers. I've never seen that
2006.
One. That was a World War II movie, correct?
This was about Iwo Jima. But
are these on Netflix?
Basically letters from... Oh, is that the rule?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I just illegally stream whatever I want.
What?
So
what?
I totally forgot.
Wait,
let's take a break. Take a break.
More after this on 720 WGN. Tell me more, sir. Okay, Craig.
Yeah, Patty.
Are you going to go through all of them? This is actually a good one. I could let this one play.
Yeah, right?
We can't talk about it tonight, though.
Okay.
But if this is your way of sort of letting the pain ease a little bit,
uh-huh.
I'm all about that. Soothe your pain.
Remembering some of the good stuff.
Yes. Maybe this will help you. By the time you get to Wednesday to talk about this with Elliot, perhaps you will have been...
You'd rather watch Adam West than Batman vs. Superman?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sorry. I know when it... Stop talking about it, Craig.
Poor Craig. He's like, everyone's writing about it.
Just to begin, my Batman versus Superman.
Okay, here's the thing, Craig. No. Wednesday, you can do it with Elliot. Elliot can hammer it out on Wednesday. Not tonight. We have other things planned tonight. But I also wanted to make sure we told everyone how much we were really just enthralled by the performance of Brian Quijada, who did his show Where Did We Sit on the Bus, his solo show. He performed at Storefront Theater, which is 66 East Randolph. And the next two shows are already sold out. There were listeners at the show. So they told me that they posted that they had been sitting behind us. And I didn't say anything. Do you know if you're getting anybody at VAMP they should come and say hi?
We should do a special code or something because I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming all of you are going.
Every single one of you.
But we should work that out.
Yeah, VAMP every Friday and Saturday night. Go to what's the
website? Go to VAMPChicago.com.
VAMPChicago.com shows. Now they've added an 8 p.m. show on Fridays.
Yeah, that's special, so it comes and goes. Mm-hmm. But the home show is always every Friday and Saturday at 10:30.
You know, if they wanted to buy tickets there, they don't, buy them on the internet. They just speak the special code to you guys?
Speak it.
Oh, at the door?
Yeah. Could they walk in at the door and be like...
Friends of...
I'll have to talk to the board.
There's a board?
Of course there is. Okay. They will work for me.
Like, we'll give them a secret word. They'll come in. They'll say the secret word. They get a handshake and a... discount.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
And for those of you listening who don't have the opportunity to go to a live show, I just, if it presents itself, please take up the opportunity because it was really so wonderful to be in a live theater. It was sold out. It was packed. Although, Craig, we did have a situation, did we not? Which Brian Quijada said was the first time he'd ever seen it. I guarantee you it has not happened at a single performance of VAMP. But there was an infant
As yeah, that there was happened with
yes.
us.
There was an infant.
Who does that?
And a live performance, a solo show, no less, right?
Right.
So this is
crying,
something...
laughing at inappropriate times. I mean,
he's got this wonderful monologue toward the end. The whole thing is obviously a monologue, but it's also music and dance, and he incorporates
it's very powerful.
Light. Oh, such a great story. Mm-hmm. And at the end, he's talking about his father and getting a phone call from his father, and it's this really moving moment because, you know, he sort of had this sort of conflict with his dad and his choices in life. And then you hear, and it's his little baby. And I don't know if that was what the baby sounded like. That's a
you know,
baby
now
after...
I think you were the baby in the audience because you did that so well. It was exactly what it sounded like.
And you hear the mom like rustling through her bag trying to find something for the baby to play with. And like everyone's silent. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that we're trying to focus on Brian, but we're also like, who brings our baby to a live show?
So as a person without any children.
Sorry, Esmeralda, I didn't mean to yell at
you. No, please yell. Well, a person without any kids, is there any moment, because that baby was pretty interactive the whole show. Is there any moment where you like get up and take the child? Yeah. Like, I know you paid your money and you want to see the show, but you also brought a baby.
It's hard. I mean, again, I'm on the Craig side of the fence of not actually having children. But, you know, I mean, like on the plane, like, that's unavoidable. And, like, all I am is sympathetic. Like, that's got to be hard. That baby does not feel good. You know, it sucks for everybody. But, hey, man, we procreate. That's why we're all here.
Well, and who knows why the baby's on the plane? Like, how important is the thing that they're going
to? Right, absolutely. So that, like, I'm totally cool with. But, yeah, no, during, like, live theater... You got to, I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry, but you take 3 years off of that.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I have no babies.
And there was a moment where Brian even explains that the biggest influence in his life was listening to DJs and being at the DJ table at weddings and confirmations and baptism parties where the invitation would actually say no children allowed and his parents would blow right past that because they couldn't afford it. So the option was to not go. So presumably the parents who brought this baby were like, well, otherwise we don't go out.
Yeah, maybe a sitter canceled or something and they had bought the tickets. I don't know.
See, but in my head, sorry, man, you got a kid. Then you don't go.
I'm actually not so against the fact that they brought their child, but the minute the child starts interacting,
you have to
take her out of the theater or him out of the theater. You can't just sit there and pretend, oh, my baby's just not annoying anybody.
Did you guys as churches have that room? You know what I mean? So
maybe
theaters should have the mommy room.
Crying room? I need a crying
room. The parent room.
Can I have a crying room?
Okay. I'll email it. Bosses right now.
Can you ask his crying room?
Right. Crying room.
It still has the window to the street, though, so people can see.
Which is appropriate. I can do cute cry and ugly cry.
You can control your cry?
Oh, I think I can. Okay. I don't know. I've never really. Did you ever watch yourself cry in the mirror?
I don't think I have a cute cry.
Brandon,
I know that's silly.
Is it sloppy?
I'm an actor. I'm not vain at all.
Esmeralda, have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror while you're crying?
Yes.
Look at you.
Yep.
Look at you.
No, totally.
Wait a minute. You guys have both done that?
All three of us have. What are you talking
about?
Come on, dude. You never like self-reflected in the mirror, thought of something sad and lost it?
Time out. Pause for a second.
Why was Batman versus Superman so bad, Craig?
No, pause. Everyone stop. Were you crying for real? Like something actually made you cry?
Yeah.
And then you're like, I wonder what I look like?
No, it's just a thing. It's almost like you, because you're alone usually, it's like you want something to comfort you.
Did you wander?
Also, there's a lot of reflective services in this world.
Yeah. So did you wander past one or did you
seek it out?
Maybe I'm showering and I think of something terribly sad or sad things are happening in my life, but I've got to get out. The hot water's gone. I get out. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm just like, you know, I don't think it's like I'm seeking the next step after I begin to be sad is to look at
312-981-7200, Patty. We need people to call in and tell us if they've seen themselves cry.
That's not on the list of when you're really sad and you're crying. You go, oh, I need a mirror.
Yeah.
But you've all
I need
done
a pint
it.
Of ice cream, a cigarette, and a mirror.
I want to watch this.
I like that Craig's like, did you just wander by one like we're pacing and crying?
Yeah. I don't understand how this is happening.
I think it actually helps me stop.
Yeah.
Get a hold of yourself. Look at you.
Can I just ask how often you guys cry?
Never. This is hypothetical.
Were we to cry, we would certainly wander past a mirror in our pacing tears.
I don't know about you, Craig, but I happen to listen, not all the time, but I like to have a good cry every once and again, and you listen to sad songs, sad song playlist.
I don't do stuff when I cry. I don't know if I'm wrong. I cry, it ends, and then I like go about the rest of my life.
So let's chicken and egg. So when you're doing stuff that makes you cry, is that a thing?
Wait, what do you mean? Like watching Up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Bambi.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay. So
or
then
Hallmark
I was.
Commercials.
I also, like, if you know, you something hits you emotionally and then you cry, I can't prevent what I was doing before the crying.
Okay.
But when the crying starts, I don't then.
So
like,
you get up and walk out of the show when you're crying.
No.
See what I did there? I tied it back to the baby.
You did not tie it back. You made no points.
0 points awarded.
Right. I award you no points, and may God have pity on your soul.
Oh, no.
I don't know why I've got to look at myself in the mirror while I'm crying. Maybe because I've seen myself do everything else. I don't know, right?
I'm usually in the bathroom already.
Locked door.
I live lot in the bathroom, just shower and... Because there is a mirror.
Well, because I had no... Exactly. I had no bedroom. I didn't have my own bedroom. I shared a room with my mom, and then I shared bunk beds in the dining room with my dad. So I cried a lot in the bathroom. This is great. My mom listens to the podcast. When were you crying? No.
Would she ask you why, too?
Why? I don't know. I'm sure it was a boy. I'm sure it was someone was mean to me. I'm sure a teacher was harder on me than I would have liked. Or I often cried when I was embarrassed by something. I don't respond well to being shamed, and I had like teachers and coaches that would shame me in front of a class.
I mean, I cry during that stuff. I then don't just like find a mirror.
We're not seeking out mirrors, Craig.
Yes, you are. You've all done it on purpose.
We're just crying, and then we run towards a mirror.
It sounds like I need to see what I look like with every emotion. My job is to emote, so I need to see what it looks like.
Hey, can we take this caller? It's on the phone.
What do we have? Oh, wait a minute.
Take this caller.
Hey, Elliot, what are you doing on the line?
Hey, so I hear Craig wants to talk about Batman.
We're
going
to review the movie.
No. On Wednesday, Elliot. We can't do it tonight. And Craig is chomping at the bit. And I know that you probably have a lot to say. First of all, he did a different show tonight.
Right.
And
we're confused. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So
also just now followed me on Twitter, which is pretty
surreal. Yeah, that's all surreal.
All this is awkward. So, but Batman made absolutely no sense.
Craig, not tonight. You got to holster that. You got to holster all of that.
Putting it all away.
Elliot, you are coming on Wednesday because I don't think Craig's going to make it any past Wednesday.
Please come as soon as possible.
Elliot?
I can come over right now.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You can come over right now?
Yeah, come on by.
Where are you?
I can come down right now. No, I'm home. I'm in my pajamas, but I will come down.
Are they Batman or Superman pajamas?
Yes.
Come down now.
The regret with which he was like, you're right.
Elliot, we're not going to make you get out of your house at a quarter. You just left
him. He can get out of his house.
No,
what
Wednesday.
Is he doing
Wednesday. You need to. Okay, here's the thing, Elliot. Craig is very worked up about Batman versus Superman. Don't you think he needs a day of reflection to sort of maybe, you know, meditate and let it sort of soak in so that he can perhaps be, I don't know, more level-headed about it?
Craig.
Elliot.
Have you punched the baby yet?
No, I've not punched a baby.
Man, we had the chance.
That has not happened.
You had the chance before you went to go see, if you know.
That's true. Had I known how I'd feel immediately after that show.
Yeah.
Have you punched a baby?
I think once you punch a baby, you'll be ready.
Okay.
I don't know. Make sure you punch a baby by Wednesday.
Wow.
Wow.
I've punched two already.
Wow. You're that angry about Batman versus Superman as well? I definitely need you two to take it down a notch.
You know, Elliot, I've just got to say, we're probably going to have to turn you over to the authorities for that. Like, that's, really? You know, all joking aside, that's probably not good punching the babies.
But, officer, it was a terrible film.
Well, first, I did not specify the kind of baby. Yes.
Oh, good point.
And second,
a beanie baby perhaps.
Oh, nice.
Baby had it coming?
Baby had it coming.
Baby had it coming. Beanie babies are worthless now. You can punch those to pieces.
The only baby I would consider punching, and this is a weird sentence that I'm saying, is one that was giving a positive review to Batman versus Superman.
All right, Craig, again, you've already wandered into territory. You are not allowed to say anything else about your opinion on Batman versus Superman. You gotta put it down. Tamp it down. Put it away.
Can I offer one last thing?
No. If it's about Batman versus Superman, you cannot.
No, it's about babies.
Okay.
You've heard about baby Hitler, right?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, there had to be one.
Right. Well, baby Zack Snyder. You've got to punch a baby Zack Snyder because in the future, he'll make Batman versus Superman.
You're saying you would punch a baby Hitler? He's not Hitler yet, though. No, but he's not.
Hitler yet. He was born Hitler.
What if he was punched?
No, we're all product of our upbringing.
Exactly.
He wasn't genetically Hitler.
And Zack Snyder wasn't genetically this terrible director of this movie.
Before we let Elliot go, just real quick, Elliot, have you seen yourself cry?
Yeah. Yeah. I, unfortunately, a lot.
Wow.
Oh, man.
In a mirror, right?
Well, there, yeah.
I don't know. He could be filming himself
in the eyes of someone he loves.
Right. It's funny. Periscoping.
It's funny Esmeralda says that because from the 708, hey, Craig, instead of looking in the mirror while you cry, you should probably just take a selfie so Patty can see it.
Can you believe I've never done a selfie of myself crying?
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
That is. You guys all need to do a group cry and selfie that.
I don't cry around people, though.
Yeah, no, me neither.
That would be a chink in my armor, you know?
None of you do that either. No. You don't cry around humans, but you cry around yourself.
Yes. Yeah, I suck it up.
Mm-hmm. I get off the phone. Oh. If I know it's coming, I got to get off the phone. I hang up in the middle.
We're going to have some sort of psychologist in, I think, sometime soon.
I think
just to talk this all out.
Well, first, maybe we need them on Wednesday for you and Elliot to discuss Batman versus Superman.
Talk. And his baby punching stuff.
That should come up. Yeah. It's a little Freudian, isn't it?
Even if it's Hitler. Elliot, thank you so much for trying to help Craig through his mourning period post Batman versus Superman. Can you hold on to it till Wednesday?
He's just got a punch of baby. He'll feel better.
All right.
WGN does not sponsor this advice.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by the creator, the genius behind, well, one of the geniuses, right? Would I be stepping on people's toes if I just gave you the title of genius behind Vamp? Brandon C. Price?
I mean, it was a collaborative effort.
Okay.
Everyone is a part of the team. I personally am incredible.
So incredibly talented. All of you that perform in Vamp, it's a great show. I highly recommend it. And you can go to vampchicago.com for ticket information. Every Friday and Saturday night at 10:30, it's a BYOB show. It's a music, comedy, and drinking show.
Yes, Patty Vasquez.
I committed to it. I wasn't entirely sure that was right.
All you got
to
do is commit.
All right, then I committed. We're going to talk about the decision by Mayor Rahm Emanuel to circumvent the suggestions for superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. And actually, we were talking about this weeks ago. We really thought that he should go with somebody in the police department. We're at a crossroads in our, in Chicago's, in our timeline, really, where we've tried all the other superintendents. We have neighborhoods that are completely disconnected from the rest of the city, and that's including mostly the South and West Side. I heard somebody, I don't want to say who it was, but someone said, like, just put a wall around them and let them kill each other.
Wow. Yeah, you don't want to say who that is.
No,
he shouldn't be superintendent.
The person should not be superintendent.
No.
But it is disappointing when you think about how bad it's gotten in some neighborhoods. You know, we see the news, and sometimes it really doesn't even hit the sort of psychology of everybody, unless it's a child or a different neighborhood than those. You know, we hear there's 8 shootings. You're like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, a lot of people just get to be able to turn their TV off.
Exactly.
And then you go back. So it's, not that that's anyone's fault. It's just it's lacks awareness because you have the ability to do that.
Yeah, completely different worlds. Just blocks away from each other. I went to visit the Better Family Services. It's a great foundation in North Lawndale. And when I was visiting, it's a school and there's a lot of work opportunities, and they're connected to, families that really need a better place for their children to go to school. And it's the one block where the gangs have a treaty where they will not shoot at any. And I was like, this is the one place where these kids can come. But before they get to school, they're in gangland territory. They tried having a garden across the street, but they couldn't because the kids were getting beaten up and threatened. And but the only place they can be safe is at their Better Family BFF Family Services. So, I mean, that's just one story out of the thousands of people who are in need of, some change. And whether that was changing the state's attorney, Nita Alvarez has been voted out. Kim Fox is going to be in the is going to be in the next election. And, I do think that promoting someone from within, someone who knows the streets, who knows the neighborhoods, maybe the neighborhoods will feel like can trust him because
he's very Chicagoan too, right? The last few superintendents were not technically even from here.
Not at all from here.
I mean, that's kind of, I think that right there is at least an extension of trust. Now, how that filters down, the trickle-down effect,
And I wonder why, we'll never know what happened behind closed doors. I mean, if Rahm Emanuel wanted, Mayor Emanuel wanted them to propose 3 and go and just kind of show that he's got, he's got his finger on the pulse of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I've got a better idea. My mother was disappointed that the current superintendent, the current interim superintendent, was not considered. And you know, that's actually something that kind of came up a little bit, Craig, in the show. Where did we sit on the bus? Is kind of where do Latinos and other ethnic groups really fit in between white and black? Griffin was talking about it. He saw the show with us and was very impressed by the entire show. He really liked it because Brian Quijada, his teacher in third grade, he grew up in Highland Park. In third grade, they were talking about Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King, and the teacher was telling them about how Rosa Parks was arrested for wanting to sit down on the bus, and the only seat left was in the white section. And Brian raised his hand and asked, where did we sit? Where did Latinos sit? And she said, you weren't around. And that's kind of the way she said it. And by the way, Griffin does an impression of Brian Quijada doing an impression of his teacher, which is fun.
Wow. Yes. That is amazing.
It's mind-blowing.
Is it really good? Is it a good impression?
Oh, it's very good. Yeah, okay. Griffin does a lot of really good impressions. He does, like, all the Muppets.
You know, I like Griffin's style. The outfit he was wearing on Friday. Yeah, that was nice. He had a little, like, hat thing. What is that called again?
It's a cap. It's an Irish wool cap.
Irish wool cap.
Yeah.
Cool.
Are you still doing that for him, or is he on
his own? He's on his own now.
Wow.
No, I don't do that at all for him. I wanted him to have some options, so we went through his closet to see what he had to sort of piece together, and he picked all that himself. And I guess we were talking about, too, if that would be kind of bounding as far as, because the tie, he was putting together elements of Doctor Who. So he was wearing, like, the 10th Doctor's Converse, and then the 11th Doctor's blazer and the bow tie. Yeah, so he had a bow tie and Irish wool cap. He was very dapper. It was very cute. And like, not, what I love about Griffin is he doesn't go out thinking, like, are people looking at me? You know, what will people think? Like, right. He's like, this is what I want to wear. So let me see what Rick wanted to say. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hi, just to clarify, the three superintendents that they looked at, they applied for the job.
Oh,
the
okay.
The guy that Rom wants.
Did not
apply for it.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Because do you think that he just didn't think he'd be considered or didn't want the job?
Well, he probably just, you know, didn't even think about it. And like, no, they're nobody going to pick me. And Rom said, well, I want somebody from deep inside the organization. And so that's why I said I'm taking nobody. And they're starting the process again to have him apply for the job.
Okay.
And so that's where the other guy who's the Latino guy, he could apply for the job, too.
And he did not?
He did not.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is Escalante? Is that his name? I feel like I'm making up names.
Yeah, so Escalante, he could apply for the job and be considered for it. So instead of everybody go, oh, why don't you pick him? They have to say, I want the job first.
All right, Rick, and I'll tell my mom. Well, you've just told her right now because she listens to the podcast, so I appreciate that. We will share that information. Yeah, thank you, Rick. That's important information to have as part of the story.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Have a great night. Let me do this. Quick break. More after this on 720 WGN. It is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase studio. And Pretty Late is thrilled to welcome Brothers Star Race in our studio here right now with their song 55. Quiet, yeah.
light on stripes. One more mile. Bowing to the shade of your warrior painted smile. Will we risk our lives on the 55? Lightning kissed my eye. We were burned on down to the bone inside. As our clothes hung out to dry. Now with all I pay echo to all the things we said we'd do. But on the out I play it cold.
Yeah. Yes. So good, Brother Star Race. That's their song 55. And we're gonna have some. Do you guys want to come and sit down, or is it? Is that
yeah. How about
pain?
They take seats here?
Yeah, grab some seats because we'll let you strap back on.
Right.
Your guitars.
You have to walk away.
It was a weird.
You have to walk away. From
pause
the,
in that sentence. I apologize. Yeah.
They have to put down the guitars and walk away after they do something like that, yeah. And they have to change to other microphones.
Yeah, I know.
Because these need to cool off.
Exactly. You gotta get to walk away. Let the energy settle around the microphones. That was fantastic, you guys. On electric guitar, we have.
Danny Classic.
He's like, wow, come closer to the microphone, Danny Classic.
Danny Classic.
Wow, you know, like sultry in there, Danny Classic. Mm. And on the acoustic?
Richard Juarez.
I like the way you say that as well. I like both of you just hit it, Classic and Juarez.
Put extra spin there.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad I don't sit at that microphone. Brancy Price, I saw you strumming your guitar. You didn't have one. You were playing a little air guitar with.
Isn't it weird that I play air guitar left-handed but real guitar right-handed?
That is tremendously strange.
I know, right? I'm super left-handed, but you know, they don't. When you just get some random guitar when you're growing up, it's always a right-handed guitar. But I naturally just go back to. There's only rhythm in this hand, which is why I'm not in a band. So you guys were great, left-handed or right-handed.
It was tremendous. Well, and I love that sort of on the electric guitar, sort of that constant, almost like raindrops. I'm not sure what you were trying to emulate there, but that's or actually kind of the revolution of a wheel too, a little bit. Is that
very? Yeah, it's very much so. The song, it's called 55. It's about the Stevenson Expressway. We both grew up. You know, right off
different
of
parts
it.
Of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, different parts of it, but right off of it. And so all of the different parts of the tune were meant to emulate different parts of when you're riding down the highway. So there's different swells and things on the
yeah, and the time signature too. Like, I mean, it starts in 4/4/8 or whatever, but before you, the rhythm comes in, it's like this almost like a two-step. It's like a 3/4 and a 4/4, and it's kind of rolling along. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I had that on my notes.
Yeah, what he said about that.
We didn't get to that one.
Yes. I didn't realize there was so much math involved. I know there's a lot of math involved in music, a lot of counting. And what parts of the 55 did you grow up on?
I grew up in Little Village, so right by Pulaski and 31st.
Okay, and where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lamont.
All the way out west?
Yeah, off of Kingery.
Okay, so where did you guys meet? I know I've had the interview before, and I apologize. It's been a while.
It's okay. Yeah. We met at USC.
Yes, that's over here. Yeah. But after you were done with your performance, I met you when at UIC.
Boop. No, you never met me at UIC.
Oh, I was like, what?
No,
you met right. You're answering another question, the one that I asked initially. You guys met at UIC.
Yeah, we met at UIC. Yeah,
yeah. And what were you? What are you studying at UIC? Are you still there or no?
No, I studied theater and performance.
Okay.
And
I studied English.
You're like, I don't know how I ended up. Well, because here's the thing. At UIC, what the great thing about the school is that you have so many people. You do have people from all over the world.
Definitely.
But you also have people where it's so local, too. You have people like from all the high schools in the area. It's almost kind of like consolidating them and all these different experiences, even though you all grew up in the same area. You're really exposed to a lot of different.
It's like a battle royale for CPS.
It really is. A little bit. Yeah. And then you throw the suburban schools in there.
Oh,
and
no.
It's a free-for-all. What compelled you to join the theater department?
I think in high school, I went to Curie High School, and I did theater there, and I just loved it so much. There's something beautiful about being on stage.
Is Cheryl Lynn Bruce still teaching classes there?
Nope. I don't know who that is.
I'm still so scarred by this woman that I'm like, is she still teaching over there? Let's call her Cheryl Lynn Bruce because that's her name. I was in the master's program at UIC. So what I loved about the theater program is you have you're so close by to all these programs and people are like, oh, well, you should go to DePaul. Like, that's a place to be. The great thing about UIC is you can do everything. You can be submerged into lighting and makeup and wardrobe and all the different elements of the theater and make it what you want. You guys, the students make the department.
Definitely.
There are solid instructors, but with the student, they can create anything, and that's what's so fantastic and brilliant about the UIC theater program. So that I'm thrilled to meet another UIC aflame.
And we're not nearly as pretentious.
Well, that's the thing. It's such a ragtag group. You would love the UIC performers. They're very...
He's like, ooh.
No, it's just real truth. Real truth.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is very... It's part urban. It's part academic. It's just... It's a wonderful environment. Yeah. And for... Now, with English, what was your goal? Did you want to go into education or teaching?
No, initially, I was a communications major and had wanted to do things sort of related to public relations and that sort of realm.
Okay.
And as I continued on in the field, I was like, wow, this is a behavioral science and it has nothing to do with anything that I want to do.
Isn't it weird when you realize that you're not passionate about what the material is?
Right.
And that it's good to have. A lot of people don't even realize that soon enough, or just figure I have to gut it out, or, you know, I have to get good grades.
I don't have the money to transfer. They're just like, I can't afford more credit. I've gone 3 years. I can't do anything else.
Who likes reading textbooks? It's like you could either read
awful.
The greatest literature in the world as an English student, or a textbook written by your professor.
That cost $400.
Yeah, yeah, yes. No kidding. My husband and I were talking about this. We were talking about As I Lay Dying by Faulkner, and I think I have to read it again because I really hated it in undergrad. I really like the whole idea of this coffin and this on this wagon. Did you read As I Lay Dying?
No.
We will read it together. That'll be our little book club together.
That'll be our book club. Yes.
We are hanging out with Brother Star Race. Am I saying that correctly?
Brother Star Race. Yeah.
Brother Star Race. We have another song after the break?
Yes, we do. Oh,
wonderful. More after this on 720 WGN. It is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and Pretty Late is proud to present Brother Star Race. Here they are with the song Lalo.
Anymore. I said, hey, what you gonna do when I come around? Just who are you to love me?
Love me.
Ah, touch me.
Touch me.
I said, hey, where we gonna be when I go alone? Will I find your moon above me?
Above me.
Oh, do you trust me?
Trust me.
To lay low, I lay low. 'Cause you don't, 'cause you don't. I lay low, I lay. Finally stared at me, took you home, my knees were rustling,
rustling.
Oh, it was nothing,
nothing.
I said, hey,
took a live, now suckle on your lip. In the shadows, you find no one bluffing.
Bluffing.
Are we something?
Something.
No. So I lay low. I lay low. 'Cause you don't. 'Cause you don't. So I lay low. I lay low. 'Cause you don't. Don't need this anymore. Hey, 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 hey.
That's that last, you know, sound of the orchestra. Just let that.
That was nice.
Also, because I'm afraid to
applaud
too
soon. Yeah, you guys grab those mics again.
I'm afraid to start clapping too soon. I'm scarred. Awesome. I'm scarred by our friends Andy Burrows and
the Fleeting Sons.
Fleeting Sons.
Yeah.
I
Who actually? That is kind of how this magic happened this evening.
Yes.
We had a last minute cancellation on a band tonight, so I reached out to Andy Burrows and invited him on, and he goes, "You know what? Let me get my friends on, who've been on before." You guys have actually been on our show before.
Yeah.
Because of your amazing talent. And
you were referred once again.
Thankful.
Yes. Thank you so much. That was wonderful. That's Brother Star Race. And
thank
we
you.
Have with us Danny Glassick and Richard Juarez or Suarez? Now I'm forgetting names.
Juarez.
I'm sorry, I forgot. Hey, you're right. I should remember the hot. Everyone at home, please do Juarez.
No, I think we're going to have a lot of like people going to the hospital after that.
No, back off the Juarez.
Not too much, just right in between.
That name's Jewish, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Believe it or not, there's a theory that any like Spanish name that ends with EZ is a Jewish name.
Well, no during kidding. The Spanish Inquisition, there were families that were removed from Spain and people fled, obviously. So there are families of Jewish descent that are all over the world. They're also Spanish, so including myself. So there you go. Although that part went to Ireland. That's a whole genealogy thing we could do.
We're all just people together.
We are
the world. We are the children.
Sing it.
We are the world. So
I can't. How am I the only one sway? Oh, no. I'm sorry. Esmeralda, were you starting to sway? You weren't starting to sway.
She was about to harmonize. Let's hear it.
Go ahead. You harmonize with her. We are so thrilled to have you. And by the way, we want to thank Bob Ferguson for making music magic on our show tonight. Always a great job with our band. So thank you so much,
thank
sir.
Thank you, Bob.
He's making sure everybody sounds good. But you guys are, it's wonderful music. What kind of collaboration do you have when it comes to writing new music with the lyrics? Is there somebody who tends to sort of throw something out there? Well,
for instance, for this song that we just finished playing, I was just playing guitar in the space before everyone else showed up. I was singing Lalo over and over again, like the chorus, and then Danny writes the first line for the verse with the melody.
Hey,
yeah. And then after that, I was just obsessed with that, and I just like wrote the rest of the song. I'm like, Danny, we gotta do this now.
Nice.
And, yeah.
Well, the results are fantastic. Really wonderful music. Because when I was asking you before about 55, and again, did that one kind of start with the music and the idea of the rhythm of Pavement and the wheels on it?
That one began with the guitar part, that's that up and down part that you like so much.
So beautiful, yeah.
And I sat on that for like a year, maybe a year and a half. And then Richard and I just were on a back deck, like overlooking overlooking the whole city, up on like the fourth floor of my girlfriend's apartment building, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice girlfriend.
Yeah, nice girlfriend. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Danielle.
And we wrote that song in one sitting, and it was done right there.
Yeah, and we were just blown away. Lyrics and melody and everything together.
And where can people find your music? Can they download it?
Yeah, you can find it on Spotify, Brother Star Race on Spotify, our EP, Passion Prayers. Mm-hmm.
Or if you really like it, you can pay for it on iTunes.
Yes, yeah. Go to iTunes. Yeah. Everybody go to iTunes and find Brother Star Race.
We also have a show in April at mm-hmm. Shuba's, the 20th.
All right, that one we have to go to, Craig, on the 20th.
That's April. A half a block away. I can walk right up.
Dude, come out, man.
We're playing with this really fantastic Australian funk band called Jacoby as
Jacoby.
Well, who, crazy enough, stayed at my fraternity's house a year ago just on a whim. They needed somewhere to park their...
What were you Airbnb-ing your frat house? What are you doing?
They just showed up and they needed somewhere to park their tour bus. So we were like, hey, we have a driveway. So they parked and they ended up staying with us for like a week.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Did you jam with those guys then too?
Yeah. So then totally serendipitously, we end up playing the show together.
We had no idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
wow. Okay,
small world.
That's April 20th at Shuba's.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, let's make it a WGN night. That's a night we definitely have to go to.
Oh, That'd be amazing.
What day of the week is the 20th?
That's a Wednesday, I believe. Cool. It's like a label showcase. So more people, the better.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I might bring Griffin. My son is going to be playing in a band this summer.
No kidding.
Nice.
You sound like you
don't
planned
sound
it.
So excited.
No, I'm very excited. I'm glad that he is, and he loves playing the guitar. Mm-hmm. I just know this is when it starts with all, with the girls and stuff like that. That's all. Everything else is
There's
great.
There's only one reason a man learns to play guitar.
No. You know what? I read this interesting article that because Tinder exists, people are playing less guitar.
No. What?
Yeah.
Wait,
there
what?
There are just as many pictures with the guitar, yeah, but not
still
as
exists
good.
Exactly, but because right because people don't need to impress anyone, they could just go on Tinder.
Wow.
That's how you get rid of the wannabes. No, you don't get rid of art. The wannabes, they didn't have their heart
well,
in it.
You got to think of. I mean, you could say that, but at the same time,
the less music in the world, the worse the world is.
Oh, yeah. Which reminds me, we were going to talk about this later. I forgot about this completely, Craig. I posted on Facebook yesterday a link. There's a congresswoman in Arizona who wants to cut back on military music spending. You better watch out.
What?
I know Marines.
Johnny Cash.
And they would come down on you.
And Jimi Hendrix.
Were they in the military?
Yeah.
Music? They were in military bands?
Yeah.
How do I not? I really don't know these things.
Now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
I had to put that
G.I.
on
Joe. Sorry, I didn't know.
Real American hero.
Do we have any breaks before the news?
We do not have a break.
We don't?
We can do G.I. Joe stuff or probably do the news.
All right. Well, let's hold on. Do you guys have one more song or do you need to go? It's up to you. You don't have to.
We got one more. I got one more.
Okay.
Richard will play for you guys.
I'm feeling a little greedy. I'm feeling
I'll play one more for sure.
All right. Wonderful. So more with Brother Star Race when we come back after the news. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and it is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio. They've got a show coming up on April 20th. In our Showcase Studio right now, though, is Brother Star Race, and here he is with Familiar.
I see my friends, I know what they want. They got a guitar, they want me to sing. Just mess around and do my music thing. And so I give them my soul. But they want something that they know. They need something I'm familiar with. They need something I can say. They need something I'm familiar with. Why can't you be familiar with me? I go in search of my past.
this moment doesn't go too fast. I see the crowd, but they are laughing way too loud. What do I do? What do I do? And so I pay them my soul, but they want something that they know. They need something I'm familiar with. They need something I can say. Something I'm familiar with. Why can't you be familiar with me? Blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Why can't you be familiar with me? I gave you my soul, but you want something, you know. Play me something I'm familiar with. Play me something I can say. Play me something I'm familiar with. Why can't you be familiar with me?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm so glad I asked you guys to play another song.
Wow.
Because I don't, like, we don't know, right? Sometimes we're like, well, two is good. We really like you. And yeah. I don't know if you want to stay. That was outstanding.
I'm pretty sure that Richard cannot overstay his welcome.
No, I don't
He could do
so.
As many songs as he wants.
Well, I mean, the, yes. But it, we talk a lot on the show about when someone says something that bothers you, right? That kind of either cuts to the quick or, you know, Esmeralda and I have been talking about being catcalled. And people are like, why can't you just take it as a compliment? What's the big deal, Richard, when someone asks you to play something familiar? What's the big deal? Yeah. Just play the song.
So
You play right. So see
good,
the rage. I mean, I think
I think every musician ever just went like, even though, like the first part was like, this is a good message, and then when you throw in Blinded, dude, like that was like, oh, yeah, that's surreal. That's viscerally making me angry, and yet this is really good.
No, I was so when I put that song in. Yeah, we were just talking about when I put it in. That song is it's famous. It's a Bruce Springsteen cover, and the band that made it famous was a one-hit wonder.
Right.
And so to think like you do someone else's music. And it only gets you so far, and then no one remembers you.
Right.
And it's just like...
Why?
Just thinking, why? What's the point?
What is wrong?
Throw a red rubber ball in there, too.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm really I love curious. That song. I'm going to go to iTunes right now myself. Go ahead.
I'm really curious.
I'm shopping.
Are you a fan of Glenn Hansard at all? Is that somebody you like? Is that...
No.
Because,
no,
like, the way in which you hit
like
some of the... Don't like him at all. Well, the way in which you hit some of the notes with, like, passion, there's the movie Once. I don't know if anyone's seen it. The opening scene of Once, he sings the song, like, Say It to Me Now.
Yeah.
And just the way that you passionately go up there is so incredible, man. It's just so, yeah. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of emotions, feelings after he sings. It's really great.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree.
Sorry about the Glenn Hansard reference.
No. I'm saying he's a fantastic artist. One of my favorite songs of his is actually not one of his solo works, but Low Rising.
Oh, yeah.
That's a beautiful tune, the whole thing. And,
right.
And he is an extremely passionate singer. And
yeah.
I accept that as a compliment. Thank you so much, man.
You guys keep talking. I'm serious. I'm going to iTunes right now.
No, I can play it. Patty, do you want a little bit? Do you want a little
I
bit?
I want to own it. No, not that.
I'm giving you what you want. I'm giving it to you.
Is Familiar on iTunes?
Familiar is not on iTunes, but right now we have a YouTube video.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's an oldie, but a goodie.
What, Familiar is on YouTube?
For us, yeah.
Okay. So go to YouTube and you can get that there as well. So it was Familiar. I love that. Yes, Brandon?
I was just going to add, so you guys are on iTunes.
Yeah.
And obviously there's like a contract agreement with that. So I have Apple Music. Mm-hmm. I can just like click play anything that's on iTunes. How does a band benefit from that? Am I screwing you guys over by doing this instead of buying the song straight out? It's going to happen either way.
Define
I'm just curious.
Screw, I think.
You're talking between like 4 pennies and 3 pennies, right?
Okay,
know?
Cool.
You know what I mean? It's seriously like that.
But, and how many guys do you have in the band?
So there's six of us.
There's six.
I know,
of
there's
you.
Four guys, two girls.
Oh, I'm sorry. And so you're dividing so 4 pennies by 6 people. Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure. I've got
yeah, seriously.
That's right.
Hey, pennies.
Hey, pennies.
Sounds like the record company's been the same for 70 years now.
Hey, it just changed. It just like the beast put on a different mask.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all kinds of messages. So you guys met when you were at UIC, but what was mm-hmm. the first instrument you played, Richard?
I started playing drums when I was like 4.
They told you they were drums. Actually, it was a pots and pans in the kitchen.
Seriously, I wish they were pots and pans.
Who got you drums when you were 4?
Well, I used to just play in the church. So we used to just have my dad did the worship there. And he was like, hey, you kids are old enough to move. So why don't you play drums?
You're old enough to move.
Yeah. To move with purpose, really.
Yeah.
There you go. Sense of urgency.
Actor training right there. Moving with purpose.
Moving with
chapter
purpose.
3.
And how about
soft
you
focus?
How about you, Danny?
Mine was drums as well. My dad was a drummer. So we had this
really?
We had this
just
incredible,
interview each other. I'm fine. Here you go.
We had this incredible sparkle red Ludwig kit at my house. And it was like kind of rotten, but it still sounded awesome. And I still have the snare drum, actually. It's awesome. And I remember we used to play Nirvana songs because Dave Grohl,
sure.
he hits them hard, but he keeps it simple.
Yeah.
I remember we used to play In Bloom and Come As You Are. And then I was seduced by the guitar.
Yeah,
as many young men are.
Well, and both of you play so beautifully.
Thanks.
I look forward to seeing you at Shuba's. That's April 20th.
Yeah, April 20th. Yeah, please.
And is it shubas.com, Craig? Is it, or is there a different website? I don't know if there's a slash. I need to say, but go to shubas.com. Look for Brother Star Race. And who else is on the bill you said was?
Jacoby.
So you can type in shubas.com. It'll actually redirect you to lh-st.com.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that
so that's both
too.
Lincoln Hall and Shuba's together.
We'll be there. It's going to be a WGN listener night. I mean, we don't have anything to give you, but we'll hang out and listen to music together.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what we need to do. We need it. We plan a field trip to Springfield, but we should do little mini trips and say, "Hey, meet us at Shuba's."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish we did have something to give people, like a Patty bobblehead or something. That would be awesome.
Or Brother Starry stickers. Yeah.
Okay, or Brother Starry
stickers. We will give. Can do you have any of those?
Yeah, a bunch.
Oh, all right, then we can give. Can we give us
so many? Please.
Can we give those to listeners at your show?
Yes, please. We'll give you a butt ton, and then you can give them to listeners.
I don't know if I don't.
Yeah,
I'm trying,
I don't
now
know.
I'm stuck with a butt ton.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah, you can use them to.
Can we get a boatload?
A boatload would be much more preferred.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. So come to Shuba's on April 20th for a boatload of
stickers. I knew I shouldn't have given her a butt ton. I'm an idiot.
Can we get like 2 handfuls of them? That
yes.
would be.
Yeah. All I need. Yeah. We just need
for
2 handfuls.
It's a
yes.
Metric butt ton.
No, really, such a wonderful music. So there are 6 of you. Has this band been in this formation? I mean, how many people have rotated in and out, or has this been?
Well, this form of the band, 6 people, has been together for a little over a year now.
Yeah. Okay, so pretty new.
Yeah, pretty new.
And so you were mentioning that you started on drums and then moved on to guitars. What were some of your influences, your musical influences? You said David Grohl from Nirvana.
Yeah, a huge influence, but I'd say most of all would be the Beach Boys.
Okay.
Led Zeppelin. The Doors. You're you know.
Well, and I can hear a little bit of all of that too, which is interesting because there is that sort of wide range right there in just those 3 and 4 bands that you mentioned. And how about you, Richard?
For me, growing up, Billy Joel, The Gorillaz, and Queens of the Stone Age were just, you know, some of my favorite of all time.
And in your neighborhood, when Richard Juarez is listening to Billy Joel, is that something that you... Because I used to get teased for the kind of music. Like, I don't know anything more Latino or something. More bachata.
You know what? I was always steadily in the mix of bachata.
Yeah.
See, like, we're just talking about, like, in my hood, it was like, everyone's, like, dancing salsa, but... I'm half Puerto Rican, half Mexican as well. Mm-hmm. So there's also that. But, like, where I grew up, there's only gangster rap and... hardcore metal. Like, okay. And that's all that there is. You go to any house show, that's what you're going to find.
And then you're listening to Uptown Girl. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Tell her about it.
Yeah. I'm a downtown boy and I'm getting beat up.
Oh, man.
No, that's all good.
Well, everything that has led you here, really such beautiful music. All of it's great. And look forward to seeing you live. It was wonderful having you in studio.
No, thank you so much, Pat.
I got to get a selfie with them. Don't let me forget to get a selfie.
For sure.
And again, thank you, Bob Ferguson.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
Great night of music. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm one of those people that always thought that it was revved up like a douche. I don't think it's an uncommon misunderstanding
of
that lyric.
No, I do not think it is.
Of that lyric.
Does either way make sense?
No.
No.
Like even deuce. What is he talking about?
I know.
Like a deuce coupe.
What?
It's you're a revved car? Up like a deuce coupe.
Oh, car.
Oh.
Brandon, we could have just pretended it didn't make sense. That
We were happy.
Go
with
cry.
Gotta explain
stuff
to us.
Yeah, actually, Nick D did this last week. Lyrics that you've always been here, you've always heard. Wrong.
I thought it was Werewolves of Thunder.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Werewolves of Thunder.
Andy Woody thought it was I Guess It Rains Down in Africa.
They weren't sure? Yeah.
Perhaps it rains.
I guess.
Sometimes, maybe.
It's a lot of desert. Craig, do you have any lyrics that you've heard incorrectly? We have to submit these to Nick D.
See, every time that he talks about this or anybody does this, unfortunately, I immediately think Taylor Swift, because it's recent, but mm-hmm. the whole Starbucks Lovers is a thing.
What is it? Is it Star-Crossed Lovers?
I don't think there's any of that in there. I think it's something like my former lovers or something. But everybody hears Starbucks.
I hear Starbucks. It's not.
Yeah, that's not the lyric to the song.
It is. Yeah. It should be. I have like this whole idea how they're at Starbucks and
hold on, I'll Google
they're
it.
Star-crossed.
It makes sense.
I don't know. I have no idea what makes sense. When you perform with Vamp and you guys are coming up with music on the spot because mm-hmm. you come up with lyrics, they're often, you know, whether it's genres or suggestions from the audience, which they also suggest the genres.
For sure.
Is this just a lifetime of you guys accumulating? You're all performers who have an ear for that, who have access to that sort of information, or are you constantly like exposing yourself and making sure you're up on everything?
Well, I think it's really cool because when you have a team that big of that many talented people, we all come at it differently.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my father growing up always just made up songs about what he was doing, like Craig's brushing his teeth. And so like
brushing his teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, that's good. Oh, by the way, the lyric is got a long list of ex-lovers.
Oh,
it's Starbucks lovers.
Okay. No, go ahead. You keep saying.
Yeah. Yes. okay. So, you know, thank some you, people absolutely do study genre and are so much more methodic in their way of doing. Like Ed Selvey, for instance, he'll set up and pay off, which means create the word that's going to rhyme with the end of his phrase. And he'll hear a word like heffalump, and you're like, you have to now rhyme at the end of your next song lyric with heffalump, and he'll do it every time.
Really?
He's very like vocabulary, very studied, very like. Formal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I close my brain off. I think of the first rhyme and then I know it's disco, so I just think of like a disco song. I'll have pure funk in my head and then I'll just kill my brain and my mouth takes over.
Wow.
And so he's got it.
Is that part of why you like drinking during the show? Because it's part of the show. I'm not saying that.
I mean, I can turn my brain off, chemicals or not.
Right.
But
because you guys go at it. You have sometimes there's Malord out there.
We do. It's been tailored a little bit down. Now the show's gotten so big to where we want to continue to control the consistency of the product. I mean, there's never a night where we're not going
I've
to raise
never
a glass
seen a bad show.
Guys.
Yeah. It's,
well, thank you.
It's been spectacular.
It's super fun. But yeah, I think everybody has different methodologies.
Because I know when people ask me, like, how do I do stand-up? Because I don't actually know every time what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was standing backstage at the Beverly Arts Center, and I was going through my mind. I knew there were people that were coming back to see me again, and I was like, God, what have they seen? I try to, like, go through my mind and see what I have that's new. What can I rotate through? And, I guess I do the same thing because I'm like, I'm just going to go out there and see what happens. And I shut my brain off and I start doing it.
That has to come with experience or talent. Mm-hmm. Like, that can't be – everybody can't do that. I couldn't walk out onto a stage and turn my brain off.
Right, there's a ton of stuff that you can do that I can't do. You know what I mean? Like, for me, that is always how it's been. But, again, like, I have real trouble reading books. Like,
whoa,
you know what I mean? Like, we all have, like, skills that we can't do.
I can't do any music. Actually, Craig, when you saw Lipstick Mom, the whole first half of that show is completely written word for word, and I have it staged. The second half of the show, not at all. Like, I would write the first three sentences, because it's all about Declan. Every time I would sit down and try to write what it was like to have a child who wasn't breathing and then have him saved and whether or not he was going to live and walk and talk. I could never put it down on paper, so I could, but I can say it.
You know, there's something about the power in that, too. If you see a singer who kind of sings a song for the first time or something like that, or you actually do a show where the whole second half you're going to just speak from...
I have no idea what I'm going to say.
It helps the audience connect with you on kind of a more intimate
emotional
level.
Because
that was an amazing show. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was weird. It was like a flying without a net.
It's interesting when you work with like...
Or a parachute. Something.
Amanda Jane Long from 773, we're doing a workshop and it's improv and Shakespeare based. And she is from like, I think she has like 3 theater degrees and is super like Shakespearean and knows all these
things.
She's
doing Euripides, isn't she? No, Euripides. Yo, something
it's,
Greek.
It's a word like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's
you know, but
that,
that's her world, and she's incredibly good at it.
Making words up.
And she's like, we need to plan this workshop out. We need to have, like, this hour and this 5 minutes. And I was like, look, lady, let's just go in there.
Yeah.
And so everyone has a different approach to it.
Yeah,
well, just throw me up in front of people, man.
I'm kind of the same way. I mean, look at the show.
Yeah, Yeah.
There are shows that will have like each segment sort of, and we asked for a dry erase board because we Craig and I had these ideas of like we would you know write down and have it on the wall, and then we never got a erase board, so we just
went so in. They get what they get.
Yeah,
that's
no, we do
quality
a,
so
we,
far.
We do a show rundown, and there, we have targets. Like after the news, we are going to talk about an article that came out saying that people are waiting longer to have sex when they're dating. And I thought we had this conversation last week with one of our regular guests, James Vickery, who said he did not kiss his wife when they were dating. He didn't kiss her until the third date. And we were all kind of like, what? I don't know. And I don't know why it was so surprising. It just I guess because I generally made out too fast. Was I just a slut?
I don't think that was too fast at all.
First dates?
If you're comfortable with it, then it wasn't too fast. If both parties are comfortable with it, then it wasn't too fast at all.
I always think that that's what kind of makes it a difference between a date and, like, you know, just hanging out with each other, I guess. I think people hang out more now. Maybe that's what makes it,
I guess
romantic?
I guess it depends on how you were invited in the first place. If a lot of the dates you went on were kind of friendly in the way that you were invited out, then I agree with you completely. You got to make a move during that first date.
Yeah.
Going to be somebody's friend.
Otherwise, you're in the friend zone, right?
But the hanging out is really just an excuse to not put any sort of
commitment.
Seriousness or commitment to it. We're just hanging out.
We're just going to chill.
Each person has to be approached in a different way. You have the person at 1:30 a.m. at the bar. There's one thing we're doing here.
Well,
one thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that cute girl that comes to the show, and a bunch of times you finally get her to hang out with you, like that has to, you know. You can walk away from that thinking, like, I'll kiss her next time. If you walk away from the bar thinking, oh, well, no, you failed then.
I think, though, a big part of it, too, is actually making it an official date. There's so few times that I remember I had dates that I called them dates and didn't just hang out with a girl that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing, as Patty said, kind of led to another. And you wind up, you know, making out or something.
This recent chick that I'm hanging out with right now, I'm pretty good.
So you're not saying dating, you're saying hanging out with.
Well, you know, I don't know. We haven't talked about it. There's no... That's not the point of the
story,
Patty.
How can you not be date? I don't... Okay.
What do you mean? You know, it's not...
We
not,
go on
do you
dates.
You kiss at the end of
and,
other things?
Well,
I
so
think stuff has happened.
I'm generally... I mean, this is arrogant, but I think it's also true. I generally am pretty good at this kind of a thing. and so... At the end, you know, I think we played a board game at a bar or something. Anyway, at the end of the night, we had decided
were
that
you
the
at
winner.
Guthrie's?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
Guthrie's.
Cool. Good call.
And so like I had like the point. She was like, well, you get to pick like something, like what we do next or whatever. And so we pulled up in the car and I was like, well, I'm going to pick a first kiss tonight. And she goes, well, I don't kiss on the first date. And then got out of the car and I was like, well, I'll never see her again.
Wow.
But we've hung out like 5 times since then. And so it was a very different approach from what generally, especially in the theater community, which is a little more liberal. And Sherry.
The rules are fast and loose.
But the anticipation changed the approach. You know what I mean? I don't know how interested either one of us would have been had we, you know, consummated that
Ooh.
Night. Nice.
All right. Well, this is what we're talking about. After the news, do you have a timeline? Do you think, okay, on the third date, it's okay to have sex, or I don't want to kiss on the first date? I want to have sort of this set of rules that you follow, or it just kind of depends on the relationship and where you are in life. And if you haven't dated in a long time, maybe you're married. Because I've been thinking about this today since I saw this article that people are waiting longer to have sex when they're dating. 312-981-7200. Join our conversation. You can call us or text us. 312-981-7200. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I don't know if anybody has rules about like when they will have sex when they're dating. When I was younger and you okay, Brendan C. Price?
Made out of gold, Patty.
Made out of gold. I think I would make up rules depending on the person I was dating. The last person I dated, who is now my husband, Steve. I had just had gone through several relationships, including going back to a guy I had an on again, off again relationship for 7 years, and I was like, I end up getting back together with him because the sex is good or whatever. So I thought I even told Steve, we went on a date for I asked him out, and we went for lunch, and he kissed me at the end of the date. We went out that night to go see a movie, and we made out after that, and then I had to leave for a week to travel, and when I came back, we hung out and stuff, and I told him that night, so that would be kind of, we dated twice in one day. Do those count? Those count as two dates?
Did you plan on the second date prior to the first date? Then it's two.
Right, it's two dates, right? So the third date, we were at my place watching movies and having pizza. We had a little bit of Pacino's. Spinach pizza was my favorite at the time. Still like it now. But I told him that night that I would like to take things slow. And when you say you want to take things slow, you always mean sex, don't you? When you say, or do you mean emotionally?
I mean in the last 20 or 30 years, right.
Right, take it slow. And then I think I had sex with him the next date. So by slow, I guess I meant not tonight, but quite possibly.
Always leave them wanting a little more.
Yeah, I don't. And I was telling Stephanie, our boss, that I would say things like, let's take it slow. And the next thing you know, my clothes are on the floor. So, I mean, it's almost like I think because in college, I remember dating a guy who I'd had too much to drink. I'd had a lot. We'd gone tailgating. We'd started the day really. Let's call him Tom because that was his name, Daniels. It always comes back to Tom and Daniels. I always feel bad. But on our first, we had like this epic 12-hour date, basically. We started tailgating. It took me along. We went to see the Illini play. And but I'd had a lot. And so we're making out and things were getting hot and heavy. And I said, I can't do this, like right then and there. And he like flew across the room and was like, okay, good thing you told him. I mean, it was just weird. And we talked about it like later. We ended up dating for about 18 months. But he said that he was worried I was going to go all like prude on him and not have sex. And like that was kind of like my first. I didn't realize that some guys wouldn't date a girl if she wouldn't put out by a certain time. And that was kind of the way he ran that relationship. But we were 19. I mean, it's a little, I guess. I think there are some guys that just go at it differently.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. My approach has always been, I think most people should have sex with most other people. I mean, I truly...
The what now?
I truly believe that. I think that we're a lot, as mammals, we're a lot, our culture and certain things that have happened as we've become this frontal lobe thinking creature have gotten away from animalistically what we really are. And so, I mean, I think when you find someone who your soul connects with or however you define that, hell yeah, dude, do your thing. But up until that point, most of my social interactions in this world are physically led and with no pretense about like anything like that. And it's very mutual and it's always like, cool, awesome. Call me in a week, or whatever.
However you say that, I like this or this about a person, we are always going to be attracted to specific people, and that's going to be physical. At some point, you're going to need that attraction to exist, too. So the fact that you, unapologetically
that. Yes.
Seek that out first is probably a
you
good
know,
thing.
But like this girl I'm hanging out with now, like she it was very, I mean, it took me three dates to even get a kiss. And it's...
Seem like a kiss was going to happen?
I mean, it's just...
God, I haven't dated in so long. I don't know.
I kind of was like that too. I'm like, well, I've either been single or it's been like, you look good too,
Brandon. I haven't dated in 20 years.
Okay, well, fair.
Fair difference. I haven't dated in 6. And actually, my wife took a really long time for all that stuff. We kissed the first day, but that actually wasn't actually a date. And then I was told that maybe we needed to slow things down a little bit because she wasn't really – she was a virgin when I started dating her. Yeah.
Did you want to share that?
She's okay with that. She's pretty open about that part of herself. It's true. Patty, it is. So,
once you've had Craig, you don't need anything.
No, it's true. You're a brave man.
Well, thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Well, no, she's talked about it publicly before. A lot of things were slow in that relationship, and there is something about like doing something slowly when you're not used to that you know.
It's an anticipation. I would equate it to why baseball is so great.
Yeah.
Because the waiting almost makes the event so much more better.
The
you know
one
what I
home
mean?
Run.
Because like sex is fun and it can be recreational, it sure. can be loving, it's whatever. But when the not only waiting on it makes it better, but also you spend a lot more time thinking about like, oh, I'm getting to know this human being right. on this emotionally connective level. Instead of just like, take your shirt off, when can I take your shirt off? You know what I mean? Like,
well, and it is a little funny because now with Tinder and everything else out there, it seems like a lot of the current dating scene is predominantly focused on hooking up. That's a huge part of it.
Tinder and porn, because people have so much access to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like, they want to do that stuff.
Isn't it weird? Like, we are the last generation that will remember not being able to just instantly see whatever sort of porn you want to see immediately.
Right.
Like, when... And I think it's one of those things where, treading lightly on my words here, you know, you almost get desensitized.
Yes.
And so now you're like, you find yourself watching something that, like, the second you're done watching it, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, what am I doing?
There is that weird, like, I don't want to see any of this. Yeah, I don't want to see this for days.
I'll never tell anyone I just did that.
that or possibly listeners at WGN.
It is super, well, now yes. everyone knows. There this is go. Who I am.
Yeah. I've told you this story, haven't I? I was, I do travel a lot. And I do believe in staying healthy. And sometimes I need some help to get to arrive. And so I was traveling to Springfield, and I also sit in the media box on the floor of the legislature. So I go to open my laptop, and you hear, and I try closing my...
You made the noises on the air.
The audio kept playing once you closed the laptop, too? That's so good.
Yeah, the audio keeps playing because it was a new computer I didn't know. So I didn't, like, instead of hitting mute, I closed the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
the girl,
golden.
And there's a girl, like, young girl, right out of the journalism school sitting next to me. And she goes, that's okay. She goes, sometimes I open my laptop and I'm like, great, now everyone knows I listen to Alanis Morissette. It was the sweetest. It was
same thing.
Did she think it was someone singing?
No, she knew. I mean, she saw the okay. screen and everything.
Alanis
she
Morissette was, kind of sounds like that, though.
We're all doing the noises. By the way, Ruth called in, and she wanted to say that personally, she feels that anyone that you do end up having sex with, you are connected to them forever. So she feels that she really takes her time to pick who might do something like that with her because that connection lasts even if the relationship doesn't.
I agree. I think that there is, I mean, I can go through and, you know, I feel like there's a part of me out there with the people that I connected with that way.
Right? I have a lot of, like, friends that we have had sex and we are good friends, and it's... I would say, yeah, I agree with the connection thing, but it's certainly, I don't think there's any negative connotation to that connection.
Right.
You know what but I mean? If anything, I'm closer to those people.
Not making sense to me. This is not.
Well, I was going to say, what about when you never see them again?
Yeah, what about that part?
Well, yeah, no, like blonde chick number names. 4 from Big City. Like, yeah, we'll always have the memory of that one time I barely remembered being, you know,
yep,
but
that was
fun.
Lovely.
See, I did none of those, by the way. I never had like a hit it and quit it.
No,
a one-night stand.
Never.
Did you
once.
Ever have Friends with Benefits?
I was a serial monogamist.
Friends with Benefits is one of the smartest things humans have ever come up
with.
No,
it's not. No, it's not. I've had both of the experiences that you're talking about. Okay. Friends with Benefits, if the person is a good friend, which apparently you say, it actually ends horribly. Because
right, because one person always...
is not in it for just the benefits.
Oh, man. I think it's all about expectations management.
Nope, it is
not.
You
have a conversation at the top. I'm sitting on a successful run of these. I'm telling you, it's doable.
312-981-7200. Have you been in a Friends with Benefits relationship with Brandon Seabright?
Yeah, with Brandon Seabright. Oh, my God. The phone lines are flooding.
Oh,
stop calling everyone.
Okay, this is coming off differently than I intended.
See, I get mad when they don't want to, not that they don't want to be friends, but they don't understand that friends bit. You're mm-hmm. like, can we just hang out and do snow? You
right.
just want to do that?
No, once you cross the benefits line.
Right, then you only want the benefits.
Yeah, you cannot have a friendship sans benefits.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yes.
Okay, no, I thought you meant like somebody wants to go towards relationship
I did. What I meant is that one of the two people inevitably wants relationship.
Oh, mine's the one that they never want to do. It's like, no. Friends with benefits is a thing. You need both.
Right. But what if one...
I don't know. I think my... My arrangements might be more like beneficial humans.
So no friendship part? Just...
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a system
benefits.
Where the yeah. other person expects the 1:30 a.m. text. And it's like, okay, cool. Because like, when you have sex with your girlfriend, you've been having sex with her for a year, you know what's going on. It's way more enjoyable because you both know how to work in the system that you're working in. You have someone that consistently can create that for you. and hang out with. And then it's like, all right, dude, high five. We will talk next
break,
week.
I'm with you, break. Craig. I'm with you, Craig. I have no idea what this man's talking about. More after this on 720. WG. More. Esmeralda, just a second. We'll get it. We'll hit it and quit it. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We've been talking about your own personal rules for sex and relationships. And we are all I believe that Brandon C. Price's take on this has left us all a little dumbfounded. Many questions. Yes.
I'm in a room of married people. We all have different, you know.
Esmeralda's
also on the TV. She's not in the room. What do you mean? I'm labeling things wrong?
Yes.
Please elaborate.
Well, here, wait, let's see what Jack says first. Jack and Esmeralda, I think, want to contribute to this conversation. Hey, Jack, what do you think?
Hey, so, I mean, as a guy, I look at my friends, and I don't want to say the majority, but a strong number are not faithful to their spouses or to their, you know, longtime boyfriends, girlfriends, etc.
Okay.
I think it's not realistic. We always talk about relationships is like, you know, you find someone and then all of a sudden, you know, you're faithful to them. Like, I feel like we ought to have a more honest conversation about just like open relationships in general. You know, just because I don't think that, like, just because you love someone and you want to be with them for the rest of their life means that they should be, you know, I don't know, like, forced not to have sex with anyone else.
Right. I mean, I've heard this conversation before, and there are, you know, I've read articles by people who say that they don't go into details with their spouses, but they have like a weekend where they each go out on dates or spend the weekend with somebody else, which, you know, I think it depends. I mean, you
have to start that way. You can't be married for, you know, 15 years and they go, hey, you know what, why don't we start sleeping with other people? But I agree. Like, it's just all about if monogamy is what you're, that's what does it for you, and you find that other human that does that, then hell yes, be you. But you should be honest about it regardless
are. Part of relationships is doing something for someone else. When we all talk about how we fulfill ourselves and monogamy or whatever it is that you say that specific person might like or dislike, I think that you're excluding the idea that half of the relationship is for the other person. And so monogamy is my preference because I don't want the person I'm with to be with anyone else, and she doesn't want me to be with anyone else because that would hurt our feelings.
Right.
So for that reason, we're monogamous, not because I'm not attracted to other ladies. But
no, but that's awesome because you guys, if you have both have that mindset and you found each other, and that is what it's all about. And so, like, you know, if Jack finds someone that's also into open relationships, but they can trade hearts, you know, then hell yes, then Jack wins and Craig wins.
Well, here's what's awkward, and maybe you guys all have this friend. I should disclaim that I'm in an open relationship myself. But okay. It's like you're out at a bar, right? You have this buddy, you have this friend who is not faithful to their significant other. And you witness what they're doing. Like, you see it going on. And then all of a sudden, like, the next day or the next weekend, all of a sudden their significant other's around, and it's like, it's just awkward because all of a sudden there's this, like, secret.
Yeah.
And you're now included in that secret because you saw it. You know,
I think that if someone's going to do that, I mean, they should leave you out of it. If it's going to be a secret, it should be a secret to everybody in their
lives.
Well,
that's a weird, like, friend code that like Jack's saying, like, you're at the bar, you see it happen, and then the significant other comes the next day, and you're like, well, I'm way closer to this dude. It's not my place to say something, but I feel terrible. I've been in that position as well.
Part of the friend code should be to leave the friend out of it. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jack.
Well, I'm just going to say, like, it's like sometimes you just see stuff. Like, it's not even like you're even looking for it, but, like, you know, you're at a bar. You know, you're at a dance club. You know, your friend is making out with someone on the dance floor, and all of a sudden he's not there.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's something that happens. Like, when you're out with your friends, it's something you see. And it's almost like as much for me as I wish other people would just, like, you know, try to work it out amongst themselves, because it's like a – it's like a double-edged sword, you know. It sucks being the one that happens to, and it also sucks seeing people who you know it happens to and kind of just feeling crappy about the whole situation.
Well, is this friend, like, do you think he'd be someone to be angry and jealous if his significant other was in a, you know, doing things with other people?
Good question.
I really couldn't tell you. I'm not trying to put my
that's fair.
Heads.
Well, and that part also doesn't matter because yet again, that's too focused on one person, not the other person. What the real question would be for Jack is, and again, we don't want to insert you in this specific relationship. Would the person that this friend is cheating on care? Because if that person would care, that's really all that matters. A relationship is doing, you know, giving to the other person what they need if you're capable of getting
Yeah, I'm, and there's probably a line between I'm into monogamy, but I'm just a crappy dude in this particular instance, or I'm just truly into an open situation, and I have basically mismanaged the expectations of this person I'm with and misled them to thinking that I'm into some. I just think if you're totally against monogamy, don't be with someone who's into it. Like, find the person that's right for you and bang everyone on the way there.
Oh. Well, and I think that if you have changed since starting a relationship, if you enter a relationship believing that you want to be monogamous with something and things mm-hmm. have changed, you also have to be honest with yourself
for sure.
and with your significant other.
Open and honesty, regardless of where you fall on the openness spectrum of sexuality, I think that's the part, Craig, that you're referring to, of like, that's the respect, that is the compromise between two people. We will be honest, we will be clear about what we want from the get-go.
Jack, how long has your friend been in a relationship that he's already kind of messing around?
This is multiple people in multiple long-term relationships.
Wow.
It's just my experience as a 30-something in Chicago.
Right.
It's like something happened at around the time I turned 30 when all of a sudden it's like, and everybody cheats now, apparently. And I just kind of looked around one day, and I was like, yep, that friend's doing it, that friend's doing it.
And are they getting caught and ending their long-term relationships, or are they just sort of stringing everybody along?
It's just watching people go through this, a lot of times it just turns into, like, just downhill spirals for their own relationships because, mm-hmm. you know, one's doing it, then they get caught, then the other one does it.
Or you're sitting on lies and rotting inside. Jack, do you get jealous in an open relationship when your significant other's with somebody else? Do you care?
Sometimes. And I guess for me what it comes down to is, am I getting it at home myself? And sometimes the answer is yes, and I feel pretty good. Sometimes I wind up in moments when we're sleeping with other people more than we're sleeping, you know, with ourselves. And I always find that a little bit awkward.
Mm-hmm. Is that the only thing that concerns you, or are you ever concerned about a relationship beyond the physical? Is there anything that makes you jealous in your other person's relationships that's not the physical part?
Well, everyone I know who's in open relationships, like, we all have some sort of, like, I don't want to say rules, but just, like, boundaries. Like, I'm not okay with my fiance dating other people. Like going on, like, a bona fide date, I think I'd probably have a hard time with. Taking someone home from the bar, or even just, like, you know, you're with a friend and it gets a little, you know, hot and heavy. Like, I don't really mind that.
Interesting. Wow. Oh, Craig is trying to digest this information.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to jump in, but I think that what you are then is really forgiving. I think that people who understand that some instances are not as meaningful as others, and that this can happen, and it doesn't even really faze you, so maybe forgiving's not the right word, but that is where the line then ends, because anything that's more than just this, you know, fling sort of relationship that she's having with other people, or he's having with other people, that is a point where, you know, I think most open relationships crack. And I think that it's inevitable that if you allow your significant other to look, that she's going to find, or he's going to find, someone that fills more holes than just one.
Zing, Greg Collins.
Well, you know, in all honesty, once that does happen, that's where the flaw to me in the idea kind of comes in, is that it's inevitable.
I'm just curious go ahead, Jack. You've got a lot of information there.
The one thing that I think is important about relationships is that, I mean, you know, I don't know about you, Craig, but, you know, there's a lot that ties my relationship together, a lot more than just sex. I mean, we have a long history together. We're best friends. You know, and those are very important things, you know, and
for sure.
I know myself, I wouldn't want to trade that. Like, I wouldn't give that away for anything. On the other hand, you know what? Sometimes I just want to take someone else home from the bar.
I think that's the thing. I mean, like, Craig, you have a fundamental viewpoint from it, and Jack, you do, and they differ. I think it's beautiful that you both have found someone that seemingly agrees with that system.
Oh, yeah.
No. I think one of the things I would struggle, I mean, I'm trying to wrap my mind around, is you were saying that if she was dating somebody, that would be harder to handle than just a sort of casual date. But, I mean, that seems to be as, like, it doesn't mean anything, I think, would be hurtful as well. Like, well, if it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, so actually, Brandon C. Price, I think that Jack and I have kind of similar viewpoints. I think that what he's actually doing is what would be forgiveness to me. I would have to forgive my significant other if they wound up in a one-night stand sort of relationship, but I would be able to separate what that is compared to the relationship that I'm in with her. As Jack, you said, you connect on so many different levels. There's so many parts of your relationship that make it this kind of great thing between the two of you. It's not just sex.
there's the emotions, and then there's just like the actual physical part. You know
right.
what I mean? And
yeah.
it's the emotions that I care about. That's what I safeguard.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you can't help but crush on people. And even people in monogamous relationships crush on others.
No, that's absolutely also true. I think that the risk is...
So many things.
No, I just think the risk is that inevitably you're going to find someone else other than your significant other who you also like emotionally.
If I was in an open relationship and she came home and she was like, I've hooked up with this person, that's great. I hope it was good. Awesome. But if she went, he was so funny... Oh, man. Knife in my chest.
It's all over.
Oh, boy.
We got to take a break.
All right, Jack. Thank you. That was an amazing conversation, and I appreciate your openness about that. Jack, we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. If there was anything else to talk about, we have landed on polyamorous, friends with benefits, threesomes. I mean, we're not landing on threesomes, but I mean, discussions about that on and off the air, whether or not you can have, can you start a monogamous relationship and then later say, hey, you know, not for nothing. Remember when we said, till death do we part? I was wondering if someone else could hang out with us for a little bit.
This is Steve. I met him at Big City.
Hey, I'm Steve.
So one of the questions that came up for Craig, and one of the things you mentioned, Brandon, is that it is all theater people that you've kind of had open relationships or sort of.
I've never really done the open relationship thing. I totally support that.
Friends with benefits.
Yeah, I'm more of an enjoy your singlehood kind of an attitude.
I think that the theater actually sort of creates an intimacy between people that aren't necessarily intimate that allows you to maybe, you know, connect on certain levels that the rest of us who don't have relationships in that world may never connect on. And yeah. I think that might be somewhat physical.
I mean, I dated a girl for a very long time who was not theatrical at all and had a real problem with the way, I mean, it was monogamous and that's really how it was. But, you know, we always greet each other's hugs and kisses and like that. That's just who we are. We're very tactile, touchy. I mean, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people on the outside of that, that's just not how they work, and that's how they operate, and that can drive some negative feelings and stuff. And I do think it's a liberal community, it's a loving community, most people in there are pretty crazy community, and which leads itself to those things.
It can lead to those kinds of things too, but it can also lead to very dramatic reactions when things don't go well.
Oh yes, that is
point. Things can go south very quickly and turn very ugly, and then have professional ramifications for everybody too.
Because yeah, well, that kind of stuff makes great plays.
It does. That's what Shakespeare was so very busy.
Yeah.
Very, very, very busy.
I want to make it clear to anyone potentially listening that I might hook up with and or date in the future that I can do monogamy. Right. I'm not against it. I just think what I'm super for is the direct and open communication of being who you are. I think being from the South and being such an inside theatrical liberal hidden down there for so long, it took me a very long time to figure out, oh, this is who I am. And I am going to say this out loud. And maybe my mom can hear. And I don't care because this is who I am. And I think in relationships, regardless of whether you're five people in a room that just go at it all the time or you're married and whatever, I think being who you are and super honest about who you are with whoever else you're with, that is what I'm supporting here today.
That makes
my
sense.
Platform.
I think there, yes.
Tone
right.
down for
oh,
what?
Yes, well done. Yeah. Good job.
I'm not sure what you're running for, but I think that it's supported.
By the way, from the 773, ha ha ha, that bump song was Sarah Bareilles. That's a record to a soundtrack where I made a lot of terrible relationship mistakes. Thank you, Tom.
Not going to write you a love song.
I think that you have to make terrible relationship mistakes.
One must stick his face in the fire to know that it is hot.
Hot. So very, 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 very hot. And the thing is that you have to be vulnerable. You can't, and then you have to come back from that and still be brave enough to go, I can do this again.
Yeah, and not like carry that scar into the next world of like not being open and honest because it's safer not to be.
Yeah, yes.
Where is the line to when you're really seeking out what you want compared to when you find someone that you care about and you're trying to give them sort of a compromise and give them what they want as well? Like, that's sort of the point I'm trying to make here, is that I fully support everything you just said about being honest, about being open, about all that. And in a perfect world, I think a whole lot of us might like to, whenever we see someone attractive, be able to flirt with them or whatever. But in a lot of these relationships, the best way, in my opinion, to keep that level of intimacy so high and no, you know, animosity that may or may not be there is to not be with anybody else.
Well, like, so, but then there's a whole nother line. So, like, we're out at the bar and somebody's flirting with you. Where's the line? I mean, and I guess you probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but in my head, in a monogamous situation, I'm not going to do anything that I would be really pissed off if they did.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And I think, obviously, that has to have via communication as well. But so, you know, you can flirt all night. You can dance. You can dance. But, you know, like, just, you know, come home to me. And, maybe, you know, so is, like, is kissing the line? Is flirting the line? Is hugs past 3 seconds the line? Like, where is that for you?
Well, right, and is it only physical? Is it also emotional? Are you have? I mean, because there are so many relationships that are starting even online on Facebook or starting things back up with people in high school and college, or you know, people that you haven't seen in 10 years. I mean, it's so weird now when I see someone like something on my page. I'm like, I haven't heard from you in 20 years, and now you're just like creeping up on my thread. It's weird. But I think that those are, right, where's the line there? You're talking about hugs and kisses.
You're absolutely right, because the internet now, social media, everything out there has allowed us to create these connections with people that don't even exist in our day-to-day, you know, real physical world. And there still are relationships that you can have with someone that you never have an intention of actually even meeting.
Right.
That might upset someone that you are with because of what you're giving to them.
What you're sharing.
Yeah, some little chat room action. Yeah, which is technically in the physical world not cheating.
I didn't mean that. I meant even just an emotional connection that you're having.
But I think for some people that it...
Craig and I are so similar. It's weird.
We're so the same guy.
Do, do, do. I don't know what song I just did there. Do, do,
you
do,
can
do,
dance.
Do. No, and back to his point about where is the line crossed, I guess the right answer to that for me is, what would I be comfortable doing with my significant other standing next to me? Because it's not that I would deter someone flirting with me, because there's certainly... is a sort of social etiquette that if someone came up and started flirting with me as opposed to the opposite, I'm not going to be like, I'm sorry, I am married. You must, you know, back off immediately. But if you didn't want to do something around the person you're with, then you probably shouldn't do it.
Right. That's valid. I back that up. And I think that comes, you know, from a previous conversation with the two of you. So even if that person isn't actually there, which generally they are not, we understand those boundaries and rules. I think that's the only important part, is you connect and you say, and then you honor what you've actually said is honestly true from yourself. And, you know, dude, like you said, people get super tanked or get super emotional or something happens in life and we make mistakes. But again, open, honest communication about it. Love is forgiveness. Love is kind. Love is patient. That's in the Bible.
Is it? I think you're right. Love is kind. Love is patient.
I want to say Ephesians.
Sure.
I don't know. It was in Four Weddings and a Funeral as well.
Now he's confusing me the other way. I don't even know what he's saying.
He's not biblical. He's like, sleep with everybody.
That guy was a real hoe, and then he started quoting the Bible.
It's so confusing. I don't know. Why? What page am I on? Oh, I'm sorry. I've pulled up. I hope no one goes through my search history on this screen. Well, it's my fault for typing in the word sex on Google.
Yeah, no, I don't think that work checks our histories, because I would very be fired for this show and all the things that I've had to Google for you. I would be so very fired.
Incognito, Patty.
Incognito. Yeah. Third date sex. Why is that a bad thing to Google? But then the pictures that came up were wrong. They were not things that I expected.
Well, I mean, that just... images of what you looked up.
Right. Those are wrong to you, but they're right to someone, as Brandon would say.
Doesn't want to have sex on third date? Don't shave legs. I don't know if that's actually a prerequisite. I'm looking at memes now.
Anybody who goes in without knowing somebody. I don't want to let that
steamroll that. Let's clear out
not shaving your legs. Does it stop you or does it stop them?
It has not stopped me. I've done it. I've been like, I'm going to not shave my legs.
And because that means, because they're not looking at the, like, I mean, they might feel some stubble. They're moving past that, as far as I can tell.
We both were.
Out of the way, stubble.
Tally-ho. That sounded wrong. I apologize, Esmeralda. That's not what I meant. No.
This conversation.
Wait, tally-ho is like carry on. Isn't it like move, like charge?
Yeah. It's funny.
It just sounds like one more ho. Two more hoes. Hashtag.
Now I have to look and make sure I know what I'm talking about.
I think anyone that comes in with that rule of like, no, if you don't have sex with me by the third date, I'm going to be pushy and weird and angry. That's awful. That's an awful approach to anything, because that's not a relationship. That is Why don't you just go pay for it then?
Right, that's dictating terms, and you can't dictate terms. You have to.
You got to be a team, like you said at the beginning.
Well, I think it's more that women are thinking, well, this will keep me from doing something I shouldn't do yet.
I don't know if there's a male equivalent to that. If there's something that we would do that would then prevent.
I mean, I could think of things that if I had to sleep with me would deter me from sleeping with me. But I don't know if I've ever gone, nah, dude, I just won't shower.
Say the sentence. Say that whole sentence again. Can we?
It'll only happen ever once.
Tally-ho, a huntsman's cry to the hounds on sighting a fox.
Yes.
Hey.
Esmeralda was a fox in that scenario.
I'm going to tally that.
I would say it's the other way around, but whatever.
All right. No, it was him saying tally-ho, moving past the stubble. Oh, no, you were moving
bully!
Past the stubble.
We both were.
Who was behind the stubble? Who was past the stubble? I'm confused now.
We're all so stubbly.
It's a lot of chafing.
You want to take a break? If you want, we could totally
text in with ways you make yourself nasty so no one will sleep with you.
312-981-7200. Look at this big bowl of chili. What would it take? Like a lot of garlic? I'm not going to a break. Craig was like, I thought she was going to go take a break. No. Because we haven't decided on our pretty late wake-up call.
No, you're right.
I'm kind of thinking about calling Eric Schinzer, mm-hmm. who is a former member of Cuba Players. He's no longer an active member with them. But he had this... Can you go to your Facebook page and look for Eric Schinzer? He put up about 20 photos and videos of his overnight experience traveling from Chicago to Los Angeles. He missed his... Well, we're going to ask him for the details of that if he happens to be awake. We might wake him up. We haven't...
You know who else I'd love to call?
Who?
Any one of these friends that Brandon has that stuff has happened with and now they're still really great friends.
Oh.
You are evil, Brandon. Craig.
Well, his phone...
Well, no, I mean, if they're such good friends...
I mean, you guys have met them.
What?
More after this?
More after this on 720 WG, and let me go through that list. You are listening pretty late. Someday the off-air conversations will be available somehow. I was trying to tell Todd Manley, our boss, that it would be fun to record these, but then we would know it was being recorded, and we wouldn't have that conversation had right there. I said things that would not work.
I don't know where we'd share that, too, because I feel like some of those would not be WGN.
Not just that WGN, but just like people, like their privacy and their...
Yeah. Well, we'd have to bleep names real hard for a long time.
Real hard. We were trying to figure out who we should call for our pretty late wake-up call. Every night we call somebody because invariably someone needs to be awake, or we would just like to share what we had on the show all night. And I've chosen someone from a former member of Cuba Players because I was amused by his Facebook feed last night. And he was traveling from Chicago to Los Angeles, Eric Schinzer, who again is a former member of Cuba Players. Follow him on Facebook because he had a delightful, about 25 photos and videos of his experience traveling from Chicago to Los Angeles and all the bumps in the road along the way. If we don't get him to answer, Brandon, we will be able to.
Hello.
Eric Schinzer, it's Patty Vasquez.
And Craig Collins.
And Brandon Price.
And, oh, hey, how you guys doing?
Hey. How you doing?
Esmeralda's here, too. Go ahead, Esmeralda.
Hi.
It's Esmeralda Leon. I wanted to call you, and I hope, did we wake you up?
No, I'm just out here in L.A. having a drink. I finally made it.
That's why I'm calling you. We do a pretty late wake-up call, and but I kind of figured you would still be awake. How many hours did you ever get a chance to rest after your journey from Chicago to L.A.?
From Chicago to LA. So yeah, I finally I came in and I immediately just got on my friend's couch, pulled up a blanket and just lights out immediately.
So let's start with your journey from Chicago first. What time was your flight scheduled to leave?
Well, here's a funny story. That wasn't my original flight. I started at 1:30 and, my flight's at 4, so I left at 1:30, and I was driving, got an Uber, drove to the airport, mm-hmm. but there was a 40-minute construction delay that I had not planned for.
No.
So I was like, well, we'll see, and I got to the terminal at 3:30 and got up to the Frontier counter, and they're like, no, there's a 45-minute pre-boarding requirement that you have to meet. You haven't made it. We cannot issue your ticket.
And I said, I bet I can get through that checkpoint in like 10 minutes. I'm going to give a speech. I'm going to make everyone empowered. And they're going to want to help me. And they will make a difference. They'll make a difference for me because they can do this. And she said, well, I can't.
Right.
So I'm not going to issue you the ticket. So I had to do another flight. And they were like, this is the only flight out tonight. You'll stay over in Denver, in Denver's airport, and then you'll fly out at 6:45 a.m. the next morning.
Well, Eric, they didn't tell you you had to stay on the premises of the Denver International Airport, did they?
Oh, no. That was of my own volition.
At that point, you don't want to sort of calculate now extra expenses and trying to find lodging. But, okay, so now you fly from Chicago on Frontier. By the way, Frontier, just a step up from Spirit Airlines.
I think it's a step down because I ordered a Coke and they're like $1.99, please. And I was like, when did you start charging for drinks?
Oh, you're right.
Well, there's a pre Coke order that you needed to put in.
Oh, I see. Reservations on top of reservations, yes. Of course.
Did you get both sides of the seatbelt or are you sharing that with your seatmate?
I got the middle seat every single time, even though I wasn't assigned to it.
You're so tall, too. That's
the middle
awful.
Seat every time.
Did you get the Coke?
Yeah, I got the Coke.
Was it a whole can? Was it a whole
no
can
gratuity.
At least?
No gratuity.
No gratuity. Was it a whole can or was it just like poured into a plastic solo cup, like a half a cup?
It was, they gave me the plastic solo cup and then they gave me a very warm can of Coke.
Oh. Hey, who's yeah, there with you?
Yeah, where are you?
Where am I?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in the Brentwood Cafe having a drink with my friend Courtney Arnett.
Oh. And is she being loud? Is that her that's being loud behind you?
Hi, Courtney.
Yes, she's under friend Dot, and she's talking to him right now.
Loudly? Tell her you're on the radio for crying out loud.
What are you doing in L.A., Shens?
I have a meeting with a literary manager because I'm getting my writing portfolio ready and trying to decide if I want to make the move to L.A.
Oh.
Can I ask which literary manager?
What's that?
Can I ask which literary manager you're meeting with?
It's with her assistant, Aaron LaRosa.
Okay. Very good. And, okay, so you flew, so you got out of Chicago on Frontier, but your first stop was Denver, and you, what time did you arrive in Denver, and what time were you scheduled to leave Denver?
I arrived in Denver at, like, the dead of night. Like, I want to say it was, like, it had to have been, like, 10:15.
Okay. I felt so bad because it's actually a very lovely airport.
That airport is cool. That's art.
There's a great wine bar that I was telling Eric about as I was following his journey. Because it popped up in my thread, and I'm like some of your other friends who were like, dude, I just turned on my phone and there's 30 posts from you.
Yeah. Also, on Twitter, I didn't know this, but like I was like talking about like tagging Denver International Airport, and every single notification that I got on Twitter was like, claim your free credit card foldable knife. And I was like, that's a terrible ad to talk about in an airport.
It really
it
is.
Every time they're like, get your free credit card knife. Did you ever think about your free credit card knife? You can use this on your trip.
Not right now, I can't. At what point do you, now this, you call this hashtag journey into madness. At what point?
Journey into madness.
What time did you realize that you were completely alone aside from all the cleaning crew at the Denver International Airport?
Oh, the cleaning crew left. I was totally left to my own devices.
I'm sorry, we're listening to the background conversation. What is she talking about?
Oh, sorry. She's like, I'm listening to this depressing story about
my friend's
journey into madness.
No, we can hear her. She's got a very loud voice.
Yeah,
we can hear her. Yes, Craig?
No, I was also going to say, she's coming through loud and clear, Eric. Don't worry about it.
Well, I just wanted to tell you those are some really great videos and photos, and everyone should follow you on Facebook and catch up with your journey into madness. I particularly liked all of the videos you had on the people mover, the moving sidewalk was very fun.
Oh, thank you. Yes, follow me at Shenzer at Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and anything else in the world. Just Shenzer, you'll
Well, very, very good work on Facebook last night. Have fun. Enjoy your drink and tell your friend that she got your interview cut a little short. More after this. There you go. Bye, Eric. I'm kidding. Have a good night. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
No, seriously, we couldn't. She was too loud.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
Yeah.
No, Shins
is one of the funniest dudes, though, man.
Shins doesn't know how to move away from the loud girl.
Yeah. His sketch show. I hope he's bringing some of that material out there. I really think he is so funny, and it's such an original way. If you ever get a chance, if they do a sketch fest or anything, check out Battle Masters. at Shenzer.com.
Well, we always enjoyed when he came in studio, too. But we love when all the Cupid players come in studio. I'm trying to get him to bring... I know that Cupid players... Some Cupid players are Vamp, but not all Vamp players are Cupid. So we'd like to get some more of the Vamp folks whenever you want to bring them in.
Dude, I will bring Vamp folks all the time. I should bring sweet Alex Gardet and Michael and them. Well, I mean, do you want to talk? You want to play music?
I was telling him earlier that we could have them be our band one night, but he was also saying that they're more cover and then improv. And that's kind of hard when you're improvising.
Well, let's just say that we are now doing the Cupid Players every other week for our Bedtime Lullaby, and the Bedtime Lullaby was not always a song. At a certain point, it was more of a story.
Bedtime news story.
Which could be acted out, and that could be performed by some of your artistic friends.
Well, we could do it. I mean, my hesitation is our art is improvisation. So you give me a current event, we start improvising, and then, we're on the radio. And like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't control that material.
It's like telling a sailor to take it down a notch.
Yeah. Got it.
I mean, we're consistent and classy, and we can do church gigs and weddings. Like, that's not a problem.
When they're
and
planning
if you
want
to hire us, go to vampchicago.com.
Well done, my friend.
But I, you know, I just I would. Who knows how improv reads over the? I guess this is all improv, though.
No, what?
It's pretty well.
No, I wrote all this out tonight. These were my planned responses.
This is not an improvised show, Brandon. This is we write everything down word for
I
word.
I enjoy open relationships.
Yes, and
oh, nice.
Oh, Vic Vaughn's back in his chair. Are you drinking coffee? What does a Vic Vaughn?
Yeah.
By the way, again, congratulations on the new apartment. And are you using the bed tent? That sounds terrible.
Yeah, tell us about your bed.
Yeah.
Does it have a tent on it yet?
I can't hear you guys.
Oh, no.
That's
Hello?
Not good.
Hello?
Vic,
Hello?
You know, I hear you.
Yes.
It helps when you plug these things in.
Oh, yeah. The headphones.
There we go. Vic Vaughn.
It's early. I had to turn your show down because it was so riveting. I couldn't write the newscast.
Aww.
I had to turn you off.
I like
it
that.
It was really good.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I did use that.
Tell
that
us.
Private pop-up tent, and
yes.
it is heaven. It worked great, and but I've found out that the new apartment is so quiet that I don't need it.
Oh no! Well, what size is it?
It was $100 too, and I bought two of them.
It just makes everything else. It like noises blocks. That's
it's
what it
just
does?
Kind of like a just picture a tent, and then picture it just the size of your body, a little bigger than that. That's about all it is, and it's marketed toward people who, you know, I guess, you know, maybe like in a dorm room situation.
Or like have an apartment by the train or something.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a sleeping bag you get in entirely.
It's a tent.
That sounds cool.
They had a mosquito bag.
It's a little weird at first, but then you're like, this is awesome.
Could you sleep without it now, or are you stuck with it forever?
Yeah, no, the apartment's so quiet. It's because I just came from a 3-flat, and you hear everything.
Right.
I had a garden apartment, so I hear walking and...
And watching dogs go to the bathroom. That's always fun.
Yeah,
you're like,
rats
really, right in front of my
window.
Running
along the sidewalk. And now I'm in a tower, and it's built, you know, out of concrete. And so it's just so quiet. I really don't need it. So I'm selling these if anybody's interested.
They could hear rats? That sounds a lot like a Superman power.
Right
and
right.
I know we have a little bit of time.
No!